877-365-3636.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish. Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
The door opens.
Wonderful.
And I get to say, ladies and gentlemen, FedEx Field Stadium announcer, Philip R.J. Cockburn.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
You know, I've said it before, but I'll say it again.
What?
Phil Hochberg is smart.
Why?
He taught me a Chinese phrase. Want to hear it?
What?
Buck shoe.
Okay, let me explain that. When we went out to lunch today, we went to this Chinese restaurant.
Right.
And in our fortune cookie, on the back of the fortune cookie, gives you a phrase.
Right.
In Chinese. And Rob read his, and Charlie read his, and I said, hey, I got ripped off. Mine doesn't have the definition. It says, book shui. And shui. And then I looked at it again and realized that the word is book and the pronunciation in Chinese is shui.
Shui!
So book equals shui.
Exactly.
Shui.
But I didn't understand it until Phil told me that.
Well, read a good shui this weekend.
I sure will. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Head and all the ships at sea. Say hey to two guys who first noticed my breasts when I was only 10 years old. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Robbie, and hello, and thank you for listening, everybody. It is Friday.
Friday.
Getaway day.
Holiday Friday, if
Friday,
you please.
May 26th. Phone number, same as it was yesterday, 1-877-365-3636. Broadcasting again today from our New York radio station, WNEW-FM.
Yes.
I wish I had a bunch of great stories to tell you about what I did last night.
Right.
But I don't, because I broke with tradition. I didn't go out with the guys.
Right, I know.
I went out instead with a guy who works at a competing radio station. And all I can say is that we have shaken up the New York radio community.
Well, it's good to know that. You know, it's great to be here on a beautiful day in Manhattan, and it's also great to know that we are making such a splash that there are, well, I guess certain individuals were a little concerned about this show.
A little threatened about us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the feeling I got after my dinner with this to-be-named person last night.
This individual who, you know, will not be named on today's show.
Out of professional courtesy.
Right.
Although I will probably toss you a million clues during today's show so you can obtain the identity of the secret dinner guest last night.
A riddle, if you will.
Yeah, so while I was out having dinner with this radio guy, Jesus, what a mistake that was. You know,
yeah.
I'm sitting at the table with this guy, and at one point I called Charlie, as you guys had requested.
Uh-huh.
I called just as we were sitting down to dinner, and so, you know, oh my God, it's just what I thought. The guy's just an idiot.
Yeah, Charlie's phone rang as we were sitting on the street, just sitting down to our meal in Little Italy, and I'll tell you right now, you know, Charlie was just going, and kind of had that look on his face like, yeah, that's what we all expected of him.
So when I was out with this guy, you guys went to Little Italy.
With Richard, the greatest driver in the history of the world.
And all I've heard are stories about, well, let me see, I want to ask Buzz and Mike,
yes,
about their confrontation last night.
It wasn't really a confrontation.
No.
I just I got mad at Buzz because, you know, I wanted the evening to continue, and Buzz began to complain about, you know, hey, what were you, cold, wet? What was it? What were you?
I heard he was in the same clothes for 18 hours.
Yes, yeah.
Then he wanted to go home, and I want to ask about the girls you wanted to buy champagne for, and then you said,
I'm sorry about
the drinks should have come from
Buzz. Sorry about
Buzz
calling you a pussy, Buzz. That's quite all right, Mike. I understand.
Did you call him a pussy?
At the very end of the evening. At the very end of the evening.
When I said, I'm bored, I'm tired, and I've been in these clothes for 18 hours, let's go home.
Oh, my. So tell me what happened last night.
Well, we went out to Little Italy. We all decided we were going to go to an Italian restaurant, and Richard, our driver, was going to take us to a place close by in Midtown Manhattan.
Yeah.
But then we all agreed that it'd be kind of cool to go down to Little Italy, where the real stuff is.
The real Italians are.
And we got down to Little Italy, and Richard, he proved to me that he is definitely the greatest limo driver in the history of the world.
Yes.
When in the middle of Chinatown, bustling Chinatown, which surrounds Little Italy, he actually parallel parked his limousine in between, a symbol full of space.
Right.
And we were all wowing, and then we got out, and we were really the only non-Chinese people there in the middle of this Chinese fish market, and we got out, and, you know, the smell of fish was everywhere, and, of course, there were the few sundry, hello, ladies jokes, and as we're walking to Little Italy, we get to the restaurant, and I said, Richard, where should we go? He said, anywhere. Go anywhere. They're all good. And he finally picks a place that he said is unique because on the walls of this restaurant, we actually sat outside, but on the inside of the restaurant, on the walls are pictures of celebrities, and every other picture is just a picture of a wise guy.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right, and you guys...
I ran inside immediately, you know, my love of the mafia. I ran inside immediately.
Some actual wise guys last night, right?
Richard claims this guy was a wise guy. We think it might be legit because he was just standing out there kind of holding court, and everybody was gathering around him, and, you're talking about capo, soldier, that kind of stuff. And, it was really, we're just sitting there. And at one point, Richard said, yeah, there he is over there. He's right over there. And I turned and I looked back at our table, and Buzz, Rob, Richard, and Charlie Broyhill, all staring, mouths agape. And I said, guys,
look at the mobster.
If Richard is telling the truth, it might not be a really great idea just to be glaring and staring at the guy.
All right, so what happened with you and Buzz?
What happened was when we got to the jazz club, I wanted to go to jazz.
Mm-hmm.
We got to the jazz club, and as we got to the jazz club, it was festive. Everybody was, Charlie was enjoying the, we were in the West Village, is that?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And we were in the West Village, and as Charlie orders his drink, it's that foo-foo drink that he,
Long Beach iced tea.
Right. And as he orders the drink, I say, man, that's a fag drink. And I said it really loud, but I covered my mouth like right as I said that, and I said, oh my God. And the bartender, I forgot what the bartender said, but she said something, Charlie knows what she said. She said something along the lines of, not in this neighborhood, boys.
Right.
Please. And we believed it at that moment.
I come there in the ugly Virginia. Hey, that's a fag drink.
Not that there's anything wrong with that at all, And I tell you, because it's pink and it's foo-foo, and he orders it every time we go out. And
it's high octane stuff, though. It's the same as Long Island iced tea.
Well, we'd had a little Chianti in Little Italy. We got a bottle of Chianti that was the size of, it was the size of head. It was head size.
The size of Rob Spiewak's head.
And Rob, and it was determined at that point that Richard, of course, was driving, and he can't drink anything, so he didn't have any Chianti. Charlie was drinking his fag drink, so he couldn't have any Chianti. So it was just Buzz and Rob and myself, pretty much Rob and myself, who drank most of the, his shocker, who drank most of the Chianti. And since Rob was actually toning it down a little bit last night because of his previous week's activity.
Yeah, I know.
I think the odds are that I drank most of the Chianti. And afterwards we said, let's go, let's just go somewhere where there's some nightlife and we can go hear some music. And we went into this jazz club. I think it was called The Garage.
What?
That's right. Which was really cool. It was
Pat Goss's anal garage, right?
And there was a jazz band up on stage. And we were all just sitting there. And it was kind of dull. And I just wanted the evening to last a little bit longer. And at that, I said, come on, Buzz, come on. And then, Buzz, you said to me...
I said, I tell you what, I'll pay the tab, and then I'll get a cab. And then you were brokenhearted because you're the kind of guy, and, we love you for this, but you love to have the evening last forever.
Yeah, I do.
And I was ready to go home. I was tired.
You like to have the evening last till about 9:30.
No, I thought midnight...
Get home and have a Twinkie.
I thought midnight was a good place to draw the line.
Was that the time, Buzz? Was it midnight?
It was coming up on midnight, yes.
It was probably... I don't know. Rob, we're not watch checkers, are we?
I just should say, I was not there, but the story I heard...
Yes.
I heard it was 11 p.m.
It was 11 p.m.?
I heard it was 11 p.m., but...
No, it was after 11:30. What was your... When I called you a pussy, what was the verbiage you gave? Because you said something... You got a little irritated, and that's when we had...
Oh, no.
That was the real only confrontation that we had, but you said something like, I'm... I'm tired, I'm filthy. Or
no,
what was it?
I said, I'm tired, I'm bored, and I've been in these clothes for 18 hours.
That's what it was.
Let's go.
And he said,
and I want to go home.
Yes.
I'm cold, I'm wet, and I'm just plain scared.
So that was it. That was the extent of the confrontation. But,
right.
You know, it blew over quickly. But, I think. I just turned around with my back to him, and I'm like, ah, pussy. Got the check paid, and we all... You know, I will tell you this. As I got the tab from the bartender, I realized that as we were walking out of the place,
mm-hmm.
that it was time to go, because I think we were all pretty exhausted.
Yeah.
It was a little too much day. It was not one of those evenings which was going to go to the wee hours.
No.
I ran into a cigar store, which was right across the street, to get a little cigar for the ride back to our hotel. And I had another little moment of confrontation in the cigar store, which I broke off, because it was... I asked the guy, you know this, when you go into a cigar store, if you order one cigar and you're actually getting it to have the cigar right then and there,
yeah.
You have a guy clip it for you.
Yeah, and cut it for you.
And all tobacco stores clip it. And so he said, do you want me to clip it for you? And I said, yeah, please clip it. He proceeds to take the cigar. And I guess either he had a dull tool that he was using or maybe a pair of pliers. And he took the end of the cigar, and as he's clipping it, he misses it the first time. And what he began doing with his little cutter tool at the end of the cigar is chewing off the end of it. It breaks the wrapper like halfway down the cigar. And I said, and he hands me the cigar.
Did you call him a pussy too?
He hands me the... No, I didn't. Not this guy. He hands me the cigar, and it looks like, you know, Sonny Jurgensen cigars, like in about the fourth quarter?
Yeah, I know. After he's been chewing on them, with his big wooden teeth all three quarters of the game.
And he hands me the cigar, and I said, oh, okay, do you think I can have a new one? And he looked at me like quizzically, and at that point, I just had too much confrontation, and I let it go. And I said, all right.
Mike O'Mara beaten by New York City.
Yeah, New York City beat me yesterday. It really did. It beat me, but not today. Today I walked, how many blocks? If I walked all the way down from 57th Street down to about 30th Street.
It's 27.
And then all the way back.
This is like when we were trying to count how many outs
are
in the baseball game.
So how many total blocks?
54, unless it's a perfect game, and then 51.
And it's 54.
54 blocks.
Here's a quiz for you.
Yes.
Today at lunch, how many packets, and Rob, you're not eligible for this, how many packets of sugar do you think Charlie Boy has used?
I'm able to ask a question here. The question is this. Did he have to ask the server to bring more packets of sugar to the table?
He did not.
He did not. I'll tell you, it was a well-stocked table.
Okay.
And I'll also tell you that the glasses of iced tea that he was drinking were this kind, you know, when they rip you off in a restaurant where they give you the very big, tall, slender glass,
fill it with ice,
that really holds,
right.
When ice is in there, maybe like 3 ounces of beverage.
Yeah, it's not fair.
So he had like three glasses like that of iced tea. How many packets of sugar do you think Charlie Boy will use today at lunch?
I'm going to say it's got to be double digits if it was a well-stocked table. I'm going to say 14.
We have a winner.
Wow.
Did I get it?
We have a winner.
Dad,
hold on.
It's a map.
And sure. Buzz wrote down 14. Like, said it. Buzz wrote it down.
Yeah, I'm hot today, baby.
The Pussy Brothers come through.
Yeah.
14 packets of sugar.
You know, I just want him to know that we will try to support him when he is diagnosed with diabetes. We will really do our very, very best when the sugar finally gets to him. Charlie Broyhill. But let me tell you something, though, about the dynamic on this whole trip to New York City, really, that I've discovered. It's Bolts and Head.
Yeah.
And that would be the Spiewak and Broyhill show.
They put on, when we're not on the air, let me tell you something. I watch these.
I know they put on, I went to lunch with the two of them today.
You had the pleasure. I was walking around the city and you went to lunch with them. Do they not put on a great show?
They do. And for two guys who really hate each other,
they really
come very close.
They become close and it's just fun. You know, he calls, Rob calls Charlie Bolts. Charlie calls Rob Head because of his enormous cranium.
Oh, but then today when we were on the street, we're coming out of the restaurant, we got Buzz's food, and we're coming back. Rob says, wait, I gotta get the drinks for the show.
You gotta get your water and the Diet Coke and stuff from me. So Rob goes into this deli grocery, and Broyhill and I are standing out on the street. Well, Broyhill, of course, goes right to his cell phone.
Right.
Goes into one of the super secret conversations that I can't hear.
Right.
So it's my job to watch the door, wait for Rob.
Sure.
And wouldn't you know it, I turn my back for a second, and Charlie is looking, at that point, when I turn my back away, Charlie's looking towards the door.
Right.
I realize, after about 10 minutes, God damn, it's 10 minutes after two. What is Rob doing in there? I go in there, and I go, Rob! Hey, Rob!
He's not in there. Oh. I come back and I say to Boyle, this is like looked like two bad detectives. I come back to Boyle and I said, I lost him.
Mm-hmm.
And Rob said, how could you lose that giant head? I said, you were looking at him too.
Right.
So I'm going to this deli and all of a sudden the head is gone.
I was supposed to meet him at a little gift shop because they were going to look at some stuff, and I left and I went there and it said, back at 2:30. I said, oh, I'm sure they're back at the station. I was off like a shot.
Right, there he goes. So it was, I felt like the world's dumbest detective today.
But I did take time to buy a fake Rolex from a lovely street vendor.
Hey, good for you. That, you know, it really got ripped off. He paid $35 for that fake Rolex.
You could have gotten that for $10.
That thing that's full of sand is going to fall apart in 5 minutes.
Hey, you got to make sure, you got to pit those street vendors against each other, and you can get that. You can talk them down to at least $20 if you're out on the street.
And I do have a celebrity sighting for you, boys.
Really?
That when I got up this morning, because unlike last week, when I woke up on Friday morning,
yes,
you know, I was coming off that many martini night.
Absolutely.
None last night. Sober as a judge, went to bed, woke up early, went to the Nike store and bought maybe some of the gayest running pants that I've ever had. They're like bicycle shorts.
Oh, no, spandex?
Yeah, they're spandexy, God. And they have the big Nike logo that goes right over my ass cheeks.
You won't be wearing those to work, will you?
They're in my bag.
Well, I wouldn't mind seeing them, like, you know, if you just held them up or something.
I really don't want to hold them up right now.
Are they here? Are they in the studio right now?
Yeah, I think they are.
Come on.
All right, let me see.
Come on, let's go. Was the Nike store as good as you thought it was going to be?
Let me see if my wife is listening or not right
okay.
now. Mike, it was nothing. There was nothing worth buying in the Nike store.
Just that well.
Okay?
Worth buying.
I understand.
Here we go. You want to go through my laundry bag now?
Yeah. Your laundry bag.
Here we go.
Is this dirty laundry?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Here's the shirt.
Red t-shirt.
That I wore while out running today.
That's okay. It's not toxic.
Okay.
Fair enough.
All right. Very good.
Hold on. I don't see the pants.
Wait a second.
Hold on.
I'm looking, Rob.
Oh, so you bought them and then you went running.
Yeah.
Oh, you cramp. I don't know where they are.
All right.
Don't worry about it.
I see my underpants?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, go ahead. Hey, they're not bad as Dennis's, and they're not as bad as Rudy's.
Nothing's as bad as Rudy's.
Rudy's
so anyway, listen. So I went out and I bought these queer pants,
right?
Which, incidentally, if my wife is listening, was all I bought at the Nike store today.
Very good.
Since I do what my wife tells me, and I don't spend lots of money on Nike stuff.
Gotcha.
Right. Wink, wink. And I bought these real clingy pants,
mm-hmm.
and I went out for a run today in Central Park, and I got about halfway through the park, and I realized that I see. Let me just toss it over there. I see a bunch of cameras and junk.
Okay.
And it was that show, Sex in the City.
Oh, they were doing Sex in the City?
Yes, they did Sex in the City.
Created by Candace Bushnell.
Who you got nothing off of.
Right.
And the four of them, the four of the girls, were standing in Central Park with Mr. Big, with, what's her name's boyfriend on the show, Sarah Jessica Parker.
So you saw Sarah Jessica Parker.
Saw all four of them up close. And I maintain to you that I would do the redhead before I did any of the others. And I saw them in person.
Really?
Yeah. That redhead is H.O.T. hot.
Man, I don't know. I've got to go with the brunette. The brunette on that show.
Or Rob, she does not look like Dave Foley. Just stop that, please.
Well, that's there are billboards all over the place for that show, Sex and the
City. You know, I gotta get a business card. One of these days, I gotta get a business card that has the number of our show because I certainly wouldn't go up to them and say, "Hi, I'm a disc jockey."
Right.
But I would go up to them and say, "Hi, my name is Rob Spiewak,
mm-hmm.
and I work for the Don and Mike Show.
Right.
You know, call this number today if you would please to talk to Don and Mike."
You know, one of the reasons we were coming up here to New York City, of course, was to have access to these fantastic guests, and with you running through Central Park, we'll be able to get some of these people on the show.
Well, I mean, just walking around last week, I saw Randy Johnson. The week before, I saw, Dharma and Greg.
Can I tell you who I saw in our hotel yesterday?
Ooh.
I don't think I said that on the air yesterday. I saw Teller. Teller was in the...
Now, is that the guy who talks?
No, it's the guy that's quiet.
Oh, the quiet guy. Okay.
Penn and Teller. Is Teller
the quiet one?
Right.
Right.
So I walked up to him and I went...
Is It's only been the other one that we've had on our show, right?
Yeah, Penn Jillette.
Yeah, many, many times.
Big, smelly, smoky Penn Jillette.
Right.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, let's just take a couple of calls today. Just a couple. I want to play you some tapes. We were all on the G. Gordon Liddy show today, individually doing our goodbyes to G. Gordon's producer, John Pop.
Yes, John Pop, good friend of our show, and we all paid tribute.
And we want to play those tapes for you of the Liddy show today. Then, I got some other stuff for you before we get to the show. Hello, Donald. Like Marv Albert will be on today.
Yeah.
And we have a brand new low-budget Jeff RD for you today.
Very good. Hey.
And the kids are all starting to fill up the beach house today, so yes. We're going to check in at the beach house, HAUS, Umlaut.
Very, very exciting.
Good. But you are the first call of a new day. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hi. Don and Mike show, how are you? The first call of the new day is not gone as we expected.
All right.
I pressed the button. Nothing was there. Let me try this one.
Hello. Don and Mike show. Well, no, this could be a technical problem.
Well, do you want to try to see if you get dial tone?
Yep.
Let me see.
Up.
Nothing. I got no dial tone.
Nothing. I got Dick.
One of those little buttons has to be pushed on the control board.
I got Dick.
You got all your phones, Don.
Oh, phones. Yeah. Oh, I see. They have a button that says Don and Mike phones.
Oh.
We have our own button. I had no idea, for goodness sakes. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yes, I'd like to talk to Don and Mike.
Well, my apologies to those who were trying to call when I didn't have this fancy button that says Don and Mike phones pressed.
So you, sir, are the first call of a new day.
Hello.
Hello, guys. Longtime fan here.
Thank you. Hello.
Mike.
Yes.
Do you remember the name of the restaurant you went to when you went to Little Italy?
Oh, my God, I do.
Buzzos.
Palucci's.
Palucci's.
Mm-hmm.
I was fortunate. I went up to New York for about four days. Tour guide in D.C., so I got a free tour up there. And I went into this Italian restaurant.
Boring.
Hello. Thank you.
John Mike show. Hello.
Hi, Don Mike.
Hi there.
How you doing?
Oh, we're doing great, thanks.
Good.
Can you speak up a little bit?
I haven't been turned up for it. How you doing, Don Mike?
We can barely hear you. Hello.
Don Mike, can you hear me now?
That's a little better. Can you speak at that level or a little higher?
Can I turn up a little? Don and Mike, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can barely hear you. Who is this?
This is Buzz.
No, Buzz is here in the studio with us.
Okay, Buzz Jr.
Buzz Jr.
There are two of us.
Listen, I'm sure the countryside is peppered with Buzz Jr.
Is this one, two, or three?
I'd be your fourth one, Buzz.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah, so listen, we're having trouble hearing you. What can we do for you?
Well, that's why I wish you a happy weekend, all right? Be good.
Well, thank you, Scooter from Mobile. Thank you.
Hey, bye-bye.
Thanks, Lil Buzz. Bye-bye.
L-I-L.
Right.
Lil Buzz. Hello, Don and Mike show.
I got something for you the next time you call France.
The next time you call France?
Well, a long time ago you were doing the tongues thing.
Yeah, right.
Well,
sure.
I know how to say miso horny.
Well, we've got those great tapes, though, to tell us.
It doesn't say miso horny, though.
We've got all those great tapes that tell us to say how many.
This guy is breaking so many directives right now, yeah. It's not funny.
I know. Quatre corne.
So he could not help himself.
Absolutely not.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, boo boo.
Hi. Oh, it's my wife, Frida. Hi, honey.
Hi, I bought a watch just like Rob today, too.
Oh, you did? Well, that's fantastic, honey.
Yes, it costs $3,500 of your money.
I don't doubt that. Well, honey, you deserve it because you're the best.
I love you, Sugar Bear. Thank
I love you.
You.
I love you, baby.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It's the original.
Yeah.
You know, I still the original because he keeps those bits to the proper amount of time.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Radio dogs.
Hello. Hello.
Toxic Dan here.
Hey, Toxic Dan. Hello, Toxic Dan.
Dyslexic.
Oh, I'm sorry, dyslexic. Oh, that's what he called his radio dog.
I like toxic better.
Yeah. What can we do for you?
Hey, Zub. Where's Zub?
I'm here.
Oh, this guy, you must have all these written out in advance, right? All of your gags?
Nay.
Not.
Mike.
Yes?
Challenge of Simpson voices.
Oh, absolutely.
Fine.
Oh, Michael, whip
yeah.
You.
Absolutely. Go ahead, sir.
Was that Homer?
Doesn't sound like him.
Is that what you're trying to do?
Yes, sir.
Oh, my God. Are you trying to tell you that is the most pathetic thing in the world? Oh, stupid. Would you like Grandpa Simpson? Oh, you're just so stupid. You don't know what you do. Would you like Mr. Burns? You young people.
No, that's horrible.
Would you like Mr. Burns?
Oh, excellent.
I'm going to poison the entire pond.
All right? As Charlie Broyhill told me yesterday, I'm the number one voice pretender.
Is that what he said to you?
That's what he said. You're a voice pretender.
Hello, on the Mike Show.
Hey, dude.
Hey, my friend.
Hey, Mike. Why say deliver, right? Buzz, you gunny. Come on. Midnight?
Yeah, midnight.
You're the man.
It was a school night.
Oh, my God. Hey, cirrhosis boy, will marry that a baby. Leave the fag. Why save it? You can't take it with you? Drink up, boy.
Attaboy. That's one of my people right there.
Hi, Buzz.
Thank you very much.
Hi, Buzz. Hello, it's the Donna Mike Show.
And, Buzz, you have permission to call
Donna Mike.
Cirrhosis boy from that. You got it.
Hello, Donna Mike.
Hey, Mike. I have a question for
Mike,
you.
Once again,
yes.
You know, I could have taken a goddamn day off today. I really could have.
John, you could chime in on this, too, but I know
thanks.
Mike's...
Thanks. Thank you very much.
Mike's more of the golf expert. Here's the
end. To help out.
Here's the dilemma. I have an opportunity to attend the U.S. Open and
play golf at Pebble Beach,
right. Play golf with Poppy Hills.
Yeah.
And it also happens to be a week before my wife is due with our first child.
Go.
And if you
have any questions, I just tell them Cirrhosis Boy sent you. Stay out late.
Absolutely.
Stay out really late.
Stay out past midnight.
Right.
And if your wife doesn't like it, tell her she's a pussy. Hello, it's Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello, son. This is Big Frieda.
Oh!
I'm just wondering why your thumbprints are all over the family album.
Okay, all right. Now, this guy's funny.
Yeah, I understand exactly what he's saying.
Not only is he doing an impression of my mother-in-law, but he's getting back to the call about the guy who J-O'd a picture of his mother.
And put his thumb over her face.
Right.
Oh, God.
You're good.
Love you, son.
Okay, love you, Big Frieda.
Yo.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hey, Mike, if you really think Pedro can beat Clemens on Sunday.
Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely. That's the one of the weekend that we haven't figured out.
We have to figure out about, and I'd like to ask Mike something.
Yes, Don, go ahead. What is happening today?
You think I'm never going to get a phone call like that?
I'm not sure. I don't think it's going to happen today. In all our revelry, we did not discuss the bet. I was too busy fighting with Buzz.
We do have a bet this weekend. I'm taking the Yankees to sweep the series or to win the series against the Red Sox.
Win the series. I say the Red Sox are going to win the series.
And I say Yankees because, you know, I'm diehard Yankee fan.
I'll tell you, you wear the pinstripes, Don.
I sure do.
Mm-hmm.
Buzz?
Yes?
How many outs in a game?
51 if it's not a perfect game.
51 if it is a perfect
game. If it is a perfect
54
game.
If it's not a perfect game.
Right, right. Sorry, that's right.
51 if it is. Okay, well, Buzz is the second biggest baseball fan in this room behind me. And we have a bet going. I took the Yankees, you took the Red Sox, but we've still not determined what the payoff for the bet is going to be.
No, because it's kind of a minor bet. It's not a big deal bet. And I did see a homeless guy downstairs on 7th Avenue with a Red Sox cap on. And, you know, he was carrying a big trash bag with all his belongings in it, but I winked at him.
Sure. So does that mean you want because I had thrown that out yesterday that the loser would have to go out on the street wearing the hat or the jersey or something and then with a sign maybe that says, you know, Yankees suck or Red Sox rule.
Oh, people scare me.
You don't want to do that?
Yeah,
okay, but just keep in mind, we have a bet. I'm not sure exactly how it's going to be paid off, but we have a bet that'll be payable on Tuesday's episode.
Got it.
Okay,
it's the simple one. We revert back to this all the time. Loser takes a pie.
Oh, you got it. That's it. That's the day.
Loser takes a pie.
Loser takes a pie in the face.
I'll bring a change of clothes.
On Tuesday.
Good idea.
On Tuesday, since Monday is Memorial Day. All right, excellent. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I'll bring a check.
Please, for the love of Christ. Turn your radio down. Hello, Mike Show.
I just wanted to let you guys know that there are actually a lot of baseball games that have only 51 outs. If the home team wins, that always happens.
You're right.
Here we go again.
I think he's right, absolutely.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you. One more. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, Radio Gods.
Hey, buddy.
Hi, we're going
to
do it for
you. I wanted to thank you for yesterday's episode and giving the idea of the Altoids and Pop Rocks and putting it into the head of my fiancée. Let's just say she came home with a whole tin full and a hankering to please.
Did you get confused when you said putting in the head? You mean putting the idea in the head of your cunny honey?
Sort of. Kind of like that, yeah.
You mean like in the mind of her?
Yes, sir.
In the brain area.
I owe you big time.
See, because the word head has a couple of different meanings.
Absolutely.
It's my name.
Let's just say that was a result as well.
Okay, right, gotcha. Yeah. So it worked out.
Thank you, Mike.
Okay, you're very welcome.
God bless you, my brother.
All right, goodbye. Clear these lines out right now. It's Secret Sound time. Call 100. We'll give you your first shot of the day to win $500 with the brand new, not yet guest Secret Sound number 3.
Right.
Be the 100th caller right now. And good luck on the toll-free line at 877-365-3636.
Live from New York City, it's the Don and Mike Show.
I'm very scared. Mike, you are going to collapse the floor.
Sorry about that.
If you continue to do your hip-hop dancing in here.
Right there.
Time for call 100. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
I am caller 100.
Right. What's your name?
Yes, James.
Yes, James. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Modesto, California.
Jess, do you have Sega Dreamcast?
No, I'm James. Just James.
Sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said Jess James as in Jesse James.
That's what I thought, too.
No, you're just James. As in just Jones.
Just Jones.
And remember, you can't spell Jones without J-O. A nice big hello to our special Joe who works back at JFK. All right, listen, my friend. You want the VHS copy of Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid digitally remastered.
All right.
On sale now at video stores everywhere. Are you ready to go for the big bucks?
I am ready.
All right, $500 online. Secret Sound number 3. Play you the sound. Give you 15 seconds. Please don't answer until Mike sings like.
New York City, good luck.
And we wish you good speed.
Caller, name this sound.
There it is now. That's a different sound, you know, because we had a winner a couple of days ago. The sound a couple of days ago was the sound of soap coming out of a liquid soap pump. So it's a new sound.
And
yes, what's happening to you?
I don't know.
Yes.
Something went terribly wrong there.
For $500, lots of Benjamins. Who is that? What is that? I'm sorry, what is that sound?
Is that closing the door of a microwave?
Hold on.
No. We're sorry.
I just didn't have the sound effects machine turned on.
Oh,
thank you, and hold on. Please don't forget that every guest is
a clue for you.
All right, before we listen to us on the Liddy Show,
we
got a couple of things in the mailbag that I want to share with you that I've been holding on to for a few days, and if I don't get it to them now, I'll just leave them up here, and they'll be gone forever.
All right.
We got a letter from, anybody ever heard of a trade publication called Radio Business Report?
No.
Anyone?
No.
Show of hands, anyone?
No. I never heard of it, to be honest with you.
Sure, a nice-looking publication.
But they sent along some sample copies, Radio Business Report, Manager's Business Report. There's that big turd, Rush Limbaugh, on the cover of one of these. There's that other turd, Tom Joyner.
Right, yeah, so, I don't like those turds.
So obviously, it's some kind of a radio magazine.
Okay, it really looks like it's pretty well put together.
So they sent us a letter that says, Dear Don and Mike, congratulations.
Well, now, before I read you this, let me ask you something. Are we too proud to take free advertising for our show?
No.
Okay, I didn't think so. I saved this.
Any publicity is good publicity.
Remember about a week ago we were bitching about how Westwood One doesn't run any ads in the trade publications for our show?
They don't. And you know, our home station never did. Nobody does. I mean, some of the affiliates do, and that's the only way we get any kind of exposure.
All right, this is pathetic, but I think we should take this.
Okay.
Dear Don Mike, congratulations. We at Radio Business Report are prepared to give you free ads.
Hey!
To help promote your show.
Wow.
In 3 of our radio publications. No BS, this is for real.
Hey, a handout.
Radio Business Report has been reporting on the business of radio for 17 years and is read by group owners, GMs, and PDs. If you're interested, please give me a call and we'll get you hooked up.
Yeah.
Comp.
All right.
Hopefully Westwood One has an ad.
I'm sure they don't.
No.
That's right.
If not, we will work together and get it done.
Oh, that's fantastic. Thank you for your charity.
Your buddy, Ken Lee, who is the VP and associate producer, publisher of the Radio Business Report.
We're not too proud to take free advertising.
No, we're not. And, frankly, it's... kind of pathetic.
It is, but we're pathetic, so I think it goes.
You know, and I thought, well, we could certainly accept the free advertising, and we could take it on the side and not let anybody know about it, but
right.
I mean, what the hell, if we're going to be pathetic, let's go all the way with it.
Can you mention what their circulation is?
I believe 5.
No, I don't know. You know, we'll find out, because I'm going to call the guy.
Obviously, he must have heard the show, and he must be a fan of the show.
I think that's very thoughtful, very kind.
Right. Phone number 71, I got it.
It's a very nice offer.
Hey, man, it's, you know,
hey, man, come on.
Come on, have an ad.
Put it in there, man.
All right. There we go.
Hey, man.
Here we go. Get some charity right now.
Radio Business Report, may I help you?
Yes, hello. This is the Don and Mike Show. We're on the air right now. I hope that's okay with you.
Yes.
May we please speak to Ken Lee?
Sure, hold on a second.
Thank you.
Give you 20,000.
Very good. Where are they based? Are they here in NYC?
I don't know where they are.
No, they're back in Virginia.
Call here.
703. Is this Ken Lee?
This is sure is.
Ken, hi. This is Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Hey, buddy. Do you mind going on the air with us?
I have no problem with that.
Beautiful.
Let's give this man a round of applause.
We thank you for your charity. We received your letter about running some free ads for our nationally syndicated show at Radio Business Report.
We are delighted to accept your handout. We will take charity.
A prouder show probably would have sent you back a nice handwritten note saying thank you, but we are calling you on the air, not only to accept the advertising, but to hopefully shame Westwood One.
Right.
To shame them, to show them that we're not too proud to beg for scrap.
Absolutely.
So, well, I was really concerned because I've been listening last few days, and I also hear you're doing your show from a broom closet, so I thought that maybe there would be some other people that might be able to help you out with that kind of stuff, too.
And, you know, if we get the ad, you know, maybe we could also get a, you know, I saw the covers of your publication, and maybe we could get a cover story someday.
Yeah, certainly if you put that big turd Rush Limbaugh on, you could give us a cover story.
I'd love to be on the cover of your fine
book. How many people read these magazines you put out, and don't give me the BS answer, give me a real answer. What's your circulation?
We have different circulations for the different products. So Radio Business Report, the weekly, is 5,000, which hits a lot of the major group guys, the Mel Carmensons, the Rainy Michaels of the world. And then Manager Business Report, the MBR, goes out to 3,000 general managers, 1,000 TDs, and the total circulation with that is 5,000 also. Fairly new publication.
Oh, are we talking full page ad here?
Absolutely.
Wow. So you give them a free full page ad.
Three full page ads. Uh-huh. One in each of the publications. The third one's Ad Biz. That goes up to 7,000 media buyers and planners.
Oh, man, I'm moved to tears.
Well, look,
the most generous thing anyone's ever done for us.
We are not too proud to beg, and we humbly accept your charity offer to give us free trade advertising to get new affiliate stations to pick up this show.
Bravo. Well, we're really just support radio, and we really like you guys. We're listeners here in the office. We should be saying that nationally on the radio, but that is the case. There's a lot of radio shows cranked up with your show in the afternoon. Keep things laughing here.
You're much too nice. Hold on, please, and one of our Time Life operators will give you the information.
Well, isn't that terrific? You notice he didn't want to volunteer that cover story, though.
That is embarrassing.
Yeah, that's, you know, I mean, but if the turds are on there, we can be on there.
Yeah. That is so embarrassing.
Yes, it is.
Well, thank you.
Okay. Hey, we could use it to be looked at by 5,000 people.
Okay, that's 5,000 more people that are seeing the ads that Westwood One's not taking out for
the show. Absolutely.
All right, here's the next piece of information we have via the mailbag. Oh, and this is a chance to yell at a general manager for one of our affiliate stations.
Yay!
Our station in Seattle, Washington, KRKO, Everett/Seattle, Washington. The reason to yell at the general manager was that I received this in the mail this week. It's an article that looks like it's out of some kind of free paper in Seattle.
It looks like a city paper type.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And it says, a note from the general manager, Don thought this might make a good show topic for a segment or two.
Uh-oh.
He asked, maybe Homo Joe can offer some insight.
Very good.
And I guess it's, to be honest, I have not even thought about reading what the hell the article is. I'm just so infuriated that a general manager is trying to feed us bits on this show.
It wouldn't matter even if it was a good idea. He's broken a rule.
Let me see. To the innocent, naive, unjaded guest of Seattle's upper-scale hotels, the pleasant desk clerks and eager-to-please bell persons represent nothing more than aspects of the sleek and elegant ambiance. But those lucky enough to be in the know understand that just beneath the polished surface of these polite smiles is a sordid, decadent world of sexual perversion and unbridled lust. Okay, well, let's call this general manager now. Find out what he's doing reading this newspaper. And tell him just leave the driving to us.
Yeah, it's interesting. So is that like an underground publication where he's discussing some sort of sexual cult?
I think so.
Hold on a second.
Oops.
Nine. Seattle's supposed to, have quite a... interesting nightlife.
Yeah,
I know that sounds like it.
God damn it.
I can't get through here.
See phones.
Is the area... No, is this the area code?
Yeah.
425?
Could be. They have it now.
That is a wacky area code. Hold on. Hey, Charlie, will you try to dial that guy's number up on... go in there. Dial it up. Here we go.
All right. Watch.
Let's listen.
Now, he's going to try to do the exact same thing I did.
If he's not getting me really busy, say, see how long it's taking him to figure it out. I can't take that kind of time on this show.
No, your fingers have to fly over that keyboard.
I'm sorry, but the person you called has a voicemail box that has not been set up yet. To disconnect, press 1.
Yeah, that's right.
Great.
That's brilliant.
Hey, so put up the business cards if you don't have your voicemail set up.
Try it again.
See? There it is.
Happened to him.
Oh, brother. What a mess.
Bounce 555 first.
Before the area code.
Okay, we're trying to call the radio station now to yell at the general manager. We've broken one of the prime directives.
Sending us content ideas.
Wrong.
Don't tell us what to do, even if it's a good idea.
Wrong.
Don't tell us what to do.
Gotta tell him he's wrong like John McLaughlin.
Wrong!
Good afternoon, KRKO.
Oh, beautiful. Hi, this is the Don and Mike Show. Do you mind going on the air with us? Can we please speak to Andrew Scatterville?
Scott Dahl.
Scatological Scott Dahl, yes.
Scott Dahl.
You know that. Yes, a moment, please.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Scott Dahl.
Chief.
What's up?
Hello.
Andy?
Yes.
Andy, Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
Hi, do you mind going on the air with us?
No, that's all right.
Beautiful. Andy Scott Dahl, who is the general manager of KRKO Radio. But, what are you doing sending us stuff to read on the air?
Well, I just figured that, if I saw things that seemed like they might apply to the program, we just send them out. We do that for all the shows.
Okay, well, great. Listen, do I send you memos telling you how to manage a radio station?
Oh, my God.
We got one here.
Wow, that was quite a... Mr. Scott Dahl, that's quite a intriguing laugh.
You have here. How did you, Mr. Scott Dahl, how did you happen to come up with this newspaper, which appears to be something that you might find in one of those free racks in the gay neighborhoods?
Oh, well, everyone here has prurient interests, and we're all just dangerous people.
Ah, really? Are you active in the underculture of the Seattle area?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
My head's shaved, and I wear earrings and have a pierced tongue.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, we just have an unwritten rule on the show. The way things work best is that you just sit there, flip that switch at 12 noon, West Coast time every day, and just let the magic happen.
Okay. Just
leave the driving to us.
Okay.
All right. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's all imitate Mr. Scott Dahl's laugh. Are we ready?
All right. Goodbye, Andy.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. One of our general managers.
I'm so glad. You know what I love? You know what I love more than anything else?
What?
I love it when those conversations are brief.
Yeah.
Those guys are weird. He's a general manager or a program director. I like him as brief as possible.
Okay, I got one more thing to share with you before we have to do a break.
Very good.
And this is a letter we received from a guy.
Well, it
looks like a term paper.
No, it's a treatment.
No, he didn't send a letter with it.
It's a treatment for our idea for a fake movie, Monkeys on Mars.
I thought it was a treatment for one of our various diseases.
Okay.
This guy, Benjamin Scott Abruzzo, has written a 20-page treatment for a fake movie called Monkeys on Mars, a screenplay by Benjamin Scott Abruzzo, based on concepts by Don and Mike.
Wow.
That's great.
Okay, this is good.
And let me see. It says, Monkeys on Mars. Don and Mike are members of the morning and night custodial engineering employees, the janitorial crew often called monkeys, who service the ground of NASA's main compound. They, along with the quiet Buzz and gluttonous Rob...
have simple lives cleaning up after scientists. Their only challenge is trying to please their boss, Jeremy, a man with delusions of superiority. Amidst the controversy of animal rights and the big boss's reluctance, after a devastating mishap decades ago, to use a chimpanzee in a flight into space, Kim and Gary...
I don't know who these people are. I don't know.
...prepare a test flight of a Mars probe piloted by the ultra-smart Bobo the Chimp. Unknown to anyone, Don and Mike are trapped in the rocket ship when it launches, and through a series of coincidences, suffer the same fate as the last rocket piloted by a monkey. In short, they are paralyzed, and the rocket is warped through space into Mars. The ship's automatic pilots land the ship, and the trio, once awakened, explore the alien planet. On Mars, Don and Mike discover a civilization of monkeys and apes.
You know what I'm hearing? I'm hearing cult classics.
Who welcome them and revere them as evolved brothers. And then it goes on and on. Now, that was the idea that we came up with for our fake movie called Monkeys on Mars.
Brilliant idea, and imagine the comedic possibilities.
And he has actually taken the time to write a real script where it says, like, fade in, external, Cape Canaveral, dawn. The sun rises, reflecting off a lone Saturn rocket sitting on the launch pad. Buzz, voiceover. It's been said that given a chance, anyone can be heroes, even those whose potential is not apparent. Various shots of base. Workers washing down tarmac. Supplies being shuttled about. Buzz. It's only a matter of placing the right person in the right situation. After that, anything is possible. This is the tale of two such souls.
Yeah.
And then it opens with you and me trying desperately to clean a glass panel.
Like the a la Stooges.
Yeah.
So let's give this guy a call.
I guess we should just give him the okay if you want to write a script.
It's a guess. We're all for it. Hey, Rob, save me the time.
1-703. Dial the number.
Okay.
Come on, fast, quick.
Everybody's going to get to dial today. Except me. I know you don't want me to do it because you know what kind of CF it's going to be if I try.
Everyone's talking to him on the phone.
Got it.
Okay, hold on. I need this guy's name. This guy's name is...
Ben. Benny.
Benny Ray. Is some Italian?
Benny Abruzzo.
Abruzzo.
Benny Abruzzo.
I wonder if that's his theatrical name.
Well, I don't know. The guy's written a 20-page goddamn treatment, though.
It's very exciting.
You have reached 455.
Give out his number on the radio. Okay.
For Clancy, a Abruzzo resident. If you have a message for Jane Clancy, press 1. If you're calling for Benjamin Scott Abruzzo, press 2.
That's a winner. You sound like a winner, sir.
Ben Abruzzo, your ship has come in.
Ben, hi. It's Don and Mike. You are monkeys from Mars.
Ben, this is probably going to be a surprise to you, but we're going to greenlight the project.
Ben, it's your lucky day because today's the day that we decided to accept free advertising from a little-known radio publication. Today's the day we decided to actually almost accept an idea from one of our radio station general managers. Today is also the day that we are giving you our okay.
That's right, Ben.
To continue with Monkeys on Mars.
You are our go-to guy on this project, Ben. We want you to proceed full speed ahead.
Ben, this is a go project. You have a green light from Coron Incorporated.
This is very exciting, Ben. We have the utmost faith in you because we looked at your treatment and we know that you can put together an incredible screenplay.
We read the first page, and frankly, we think you love it.
Absolutely.
So on behalf of everybody at Cunny Films, we say it's a go.
All right.
Good luck to you, Ben.
It's a go. Thank you, Ben.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, so I guess the next time we'll be talking to Ben will be when we have a director in place and an editor and a cinematographer and all that other good stuff. And, of course, the monkeys.
Yeah. Right, the always important monkeys. So that's what we have in the mailbag today. I've been sitting on that stuff for a couple of days.
Very
that's
exciting.
What we have. Who's on this telephone? Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, who is this?
This is Josie.
Hi, Josie. Where are you from?
From Spokane.
Oh, baby.
I called because I know they're joking and it's the Mike Show, but I had a dream about Mike last night. So since it's the Mike Show today.
What is happening today?
It's your lucky day, Mike.
I don't know. It's just something was sent to me last night in my sleep. I dreamt that we were at this little Italian restaurant.
I could have had a four-day weekend. You're not showing up today.
Well, I can throw you into the dream if you want.
No, don't, Patriot. No, please. No. Don't give me your free advertising.
Okay, you weren't in the dream.
I don't want to be too selfish, but okay, get to it. Come on, what is it?
So we're in this little Italian restaurant, and we're sitting looking deeply into each other's eyes, and a huge bottle of Chianti comes to the table, the size of a hat.
You wouldn't know Chianti. Chianti if you had a dream last night. We only talked about it today.
No, that's what I'm saying. It came to me last night in a dream. So do you want to hear the rest of it or not?
No, because you're playing with my feelings, but go ahead, yes.
Okay. So we're sitting looking at each other, and then also it felt like there was nobody else there. And I unbuttoned my blouse, and you were pouring the Chianti down my big breasts, and you put me up on the table, and right as you were about to give it to me,
this is phone sex.
Your pussy friends told you it was time to go home.
Yeah. Okay. All right. See, that was a setup all the way. All the way it was a setup.
Thank you, Jersey.
That was not a Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. You're on the air.
This is Mike from Liver. You have a little shot of Jim. Could you give me some Galliano? Maybe you got a flask of Jim Beam there?
Thirsty in here. You know what, Mike? You should go play the lotto today.
Yes. No, today is my day.
You really should.
God.
Okay, time out. We'll be right back.
Broadcasting from the legendary studios of WKHW in New York City, here's
John
and Mike.
We got a trip to Salt Lake City, Utah, that we will give away in uno momento.
Right.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Right, hi.
Hey, what's the deal with the cheap Redskins charging for practice?
I could not agree with you more. Did you not hear my astute comments the other day on that?
What were those, Don?
Those comments were that what the Redskins should do to really jip their fans,
absolutely,
is to practice inside a giant dome,
mm-hmm,
where they control the oxygen,
right?
Where they would have to make you pay to breathe the air,
absolutely,
to watch them practice.
So if they don't win the Super Bowl this year with all those big draft picks, then they should be paying the fans to come see them.
This is a bitter Redskins fan right here.
I understand it, and I feel it. Listen, I am a Redskins. Not only do I work on the Redskins broadcast,
right,
do the pregame show, I am a Redskins season ticket holder. I pay the highest goddamn prices in the league for my season tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And now the Redskins are the only team in the NFL that's going to charge people to come and watch them at training camp.
I saw them in their last Super Bowl.
I just want to tell you something. I've been to the practice when it's the real team,
right,
practicing.
You've been down on the field.
I've stood right on the field, right next to Norv Turner when he's coaching a practice.
Mm-hmm.
After 2 minutes, it's boring! It's boring! And they want to charge you $10 to get in,
right,
and $10 to park your car.
The parking is what kills me, the $10 to park your car.
And
that
don't suck.
And the biggest bunch of crap is when you read the Redskins say the reason they're charging is to recoup the cost of training camp, that they don't expect to make money on this.
But Don, are they going to charge you?
Are they going to charge me? They better not charge me, or I'm not doing that job this year. Thank you, my friend. You know, you will not find a bigger Redskins homer than me. But
yeah, that just kind of sucks.
It really sucks.
And what you were talking about the other day was the way it used to be when they had it up in Frostburg or when they had it in Carlisle. Where you could just go up, you take the kids, a car full of kids up, you know, you take a whole Cub Scout troop in there, and you go in there, and everybody gets in for free, and you watch the practice, and you're right about the practices are not exactly, tremendous sports entertainment.
You know, you're watching 100 guys do jumping jacks.
Exactly.
And it's going to be 110 degrees outside. Who wants to pay to see that? Well, you know what? I'm sure they'll prove me wrong. I'm sure they'll have 10,000 people a day up there.
I think Head ought to set up a little lemonade stand out there.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, I got a song for Don and Mike.
Yes, we're here. Hello, sir.
Yes. What is Mike's name, or Mike's wife's name?
My wife's name is Laura.
Laura?
Yes, can you turn your radio down, please, for the love of Christ?
Just a moment.
It's really going to turn the radio down. I bet this must be a song about our wives.
I would.
All right.
Okay?
All right. I'm getting cunning for Christmas. Donnie and Michael are mad. I'm getting cunning for Christmas, cause I ain't been nothing but bad. I blew my load on Frieda's head. Donnie's pissed at me. I hammered Laura in the can. Michael's pissed at me.
Okay. I've heard about enough of that. But send me the lyrics.
So glad I gave my wife's name.
Send me the lyrics. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello? What?
Yeah.
What is this thing?
What is the theme, Rob?
The theme to Fraggle Rock from HBO.
Fraggle Rock.
This is the general manager from Seattle. Oh, God.
So many dicks are calling us today.
Well, you know, it is a holiday weekend.
How about Don and Mike's show?
Don and Mike?
Yeah.
Why are you guys being so freaking nice, man? Start busting some balls out there, huh?
Who have we been nice to?
Come on, I want to hear some balls busting.
You can't, I swear to God, you cannot win on this show.
No.
The call before we took this call, I said, why are so many dicks calling us today?
Absolutely, and then the guy says, we're not busting balls.
This guy says, why aren't you busting balls?
We're being so nice.
Yesterday, a guy calls us and says, how come you're not nice to
right.
people? How come all you do is bust balls on this show?
Well, F you.
Kick some dickles in. Come on.
Come on. Don and Mike's show.
Stomp on my balls.
You are so hard to please as an audience. I just want to tell you that.
Now a guy wants us to stomp, Don.
You are so impossible to please.
I'm just kidding.
No, I'm not. Thank you.
Bastards, I love you.
Thank you.
You guys are great.
Thank you, my friend. Okay, Robbie, yeah. You got those tapes of Libby?
Yeah.
Okay. Today, on the G. Gordon Libby Show, our good friend, John Pop,
yes.
retired. He quit being G. Gordon Libby's producer.
Do we know how long he was the producer for?
100 years, Mike.
No.
I think for 9 years, right, Rob?
Yeah, he started in 91. No other person has produced that show since it started.
And they asked us today, each of us, to do a little send-off piece for John.
A little vignette.
And I think Mike did his on the telephone.
Yes.
Buzz and I were here at WNEW, where obviously we had a line to JFK, so we did ours on the microphone.
Right.
And Robbie, you and Broyhill did your prepared skit in studio. Now,
you know, when I came into the studio this morning, I came in to drop off a suitcase, and I walked in, and Charlie Broyhill was behind the console, and Rob was sitting where I'm sitting, so it really looked like Charlie was you and Rob was me, and it was very, very scary. It looked like they were doing a midday show.
Well, unlike us,
yes.
You know, we do this show, with no script.
Right.
Rob did write an elaborate five-page handwritten script for himself and Charlie Broyhill today on the Libby Show.
Imagine those efforts if they were put to worthwhile use.
No, he's too busy writing down stuff like Fraggle Rock was the song that guy was singing. So let's save the Rob and Charlie Show for last.
All right, very good.
Which tape do you have for us first, Robbie?
Mike is first, and it's on cassette.
On cassette.
Man, press cassette.
It's my day, man. So I think we're doing it in the order that we actually were on the Libby Show today.
Okay.
So at about 10:35 this morning, this is the G. Gordon Libby Show.
We got a really great guy from online.
Okay.
Buddy O'Meara.
Funniest
sure.
guys in the world.
Yes, Mike O'Meara. Mike, come in, my friend.
Hello there, Gordon.
How you doing, Michael? Ladies and gentlemen, the famed Mike O'Meara, who is from Don and Mike, who just radio gods.
Yes, we're neighbors. We work in the same building.
That's right. Well, and they are enormously successful. They are a nationally syndicated radio show, and all kinds of good things are happening for and with them.
We would love to have as many stations as you do, Gordon. Maybe someday that'll happen. But, I'm not here to talk about me, Gordon. I'm here to talk about a man you know well, Mr. John Pop.
Yes, indeed. He's about the only guy I know around here who's about your size.
Thank you so much, Gordon. I wasn't planning on doing the impression of you, but now after the fat joke, I'll have to do it before I get off the line here. Because, Gordon, you know, as you once said to me, you're the only person that does me better than I do me.
That's true.
I had to get that in there, Gordon. But really, once again, we're not talking about the man. We're not talking about the phenomenal human being, John Pop. John? Is John there, Gordon?
He's right there.
I'm right here, Mike.
He's got his ears on. He's got a mic open in front of him.
I just want to point out, you know, your new support staff has kept me on the phone for about 15 minutes, and I couldn't hear anything because I'm up here in New York. But John, I just wanted to say, you're a producer, you're a singer, you're an entertainer. You're an all-around nice guy, John. It's going to be very sad to wander the hallways of our flagship station, WJFK, in Washington, D.C., without seeing you. And I have a memory of John Pop, Gordon, that I don't think you know about.
Uh-oh.
This goes back many, many years ago. A long, long time ago, as John will tell you, when I was actually laid up in the hospital, I had some tummy trouble, and I was in the hospital for a good long period of time. And people were coming in to visit me on a daily basis. They were bringing the standard stuff like cards and flowers. But this is a tender, sweet moment, because when John Pop came to visit me in the hospital, Gordon, he brought me Girly Magazine.
Oh, man.
Let me tell you something. I mean, I knew at that moment what kind of human being I was dealing with. Somebody who could... It was my the last day of roughly 8 days in the hospital, and he brought me a bag with magazines in it, and I'll tell you right now, that kind of thoughtfulness does not come around every single day. And John Pop, you did that for me, and I mean it, man. I will never forget you for that.
I still remember that, Mike.
You are a gentleman. You are a scholar. You really are an all-around good guy, and I will miss you, and I wish you the very best of luck in your future endeavors. And now there will be other people who will follow in your footsteps. Perhaps behind the wheel of a BMW. And I wish you Godspeed, John Pop. God bless you, sir.
Thank you, Mike.
Gordon, I have to go. It's been nice chatting with you.
Oh, nice chatting with you, Mike. You know,
I care.
Listen to you, Mike. When Mike said about the two of you wandering the halls, I got this immediate sense impression of two aircraft carriers trying to go through the Panama Canal side by side.
Credit,
yeah.
You actually did like a real tribute to John Pop.
I did. Well, it was, you know, when he did that for me, Rob said to me last week, I think it was, you know, do you want to do something for John Pop? Say something for John Pop. And I said, I remember when he did that, when he brought me pornography in the hospital. I mean, really, you know, it was Gordon's show, so I toned it down and I said, Girly magazines,
magazines, right.
This was what these magazines.
Like G. Gordon Liddy's and these strangers with the porno.
These magazines were, you know, the kind of magazines where they review porno movies?
Oh, yeah.
You know, those kind of, where it's like video. Picks magazine. They were really hardcore, and I had a private room, and I went right into the bathroom.
Hardcore porn.
Hardcore. He brought me hardcore porn.
That's great.
So you called in.
Yeah, and then I wasn't going to do a Liddy impression until he made the fat joke.
Sure.
And then,
season.
And then he made another fat joke. You know, two ships passing in the Panama Canal.
Yeah.
Now we have, I got on the microphone here.
Okay.
About 12:30 today, and Buzz was in the studio with me, and we both did. Is that what's coming up next, Robbie?
Yeah.
Okay, here's our fabulous tribute to the late John Pop.
As Radio God star Don Geronimo. Yes, sir, Don. And one of his sidekicks, Buzz Burbank, the man with the mellifluous voice.
Hey. How you doing, Gordon?
Hi, John.
Fine, thank you.
Because I'm a bully, I'll go first. First, I would like to say, John, you are not an horrendous failure. Gordon, grammatically speaking, when you said that John getting your lunch was an horrendous failure, shouldn't it be a horrendous failure?
No, when the first letter of the word following the A is an H, it becomes an N.
See, I knew you'd have the answer. Thank you, Chief. Well, John Pop, where do I begin?
Not.
I could talk about our mutual love of cigars.
Mm-hmm.
I could talk about your ponytail stage.
Right.
We could talk about Surf's clogs.
All right.
I could talk about your well-known homosexual relationship with the late Cameron Gray.
Oh, yeah.
Instead, John, my tribute is to you, John Pop, the inventor of the labor-saving cart.
Ah, yes.
I know Gordon and everybody at the station knows what I'm talking about. It is this old librarian-like cart,
yeah,
that John take things from studio to studio with. And John, why in God's green earth make two or three trips upstairs when you can precariously balance books, tape cartridges, and bowls of your half-eaten food higher than the Empire State Building to get everything up to Gordon's office in one trip?
That's right. Well, he doesn't balance very well, because we usually around here, just as I'm going to make some devastating point, he drops several carts.
It
sounds like that. I mean, it goes on and on.
Well, John, listen, I'm going to keep this brief, but I just want to say that at WJFK, a radio station that's built on low goals and laziness,
and little money,
I'm proud to say that, John, you will always be king of the lazies, to replaced by, to be replaced by Robbie Seawag, the new laziest man at WJFK.
I know I proudly passed the scepter along to Rob Seawag.
John, we will miss you, and I don't know if you can see this right now, John, but I'm holding up a giant sign that says, I will miss you, John.
Thank you, Don.
And Gordon, thank you for the airtime as always, and thank you for the grammatical lesson there.
Oh, yeah. Well, we can't have you up there in New York committing grammatical errors.
And now a man who I believe is a horrendous failure reading the news, here is my friend, Buzz Buda.
Thanks, Don. Gordon, first I want to say thanks for having me on to say goodbye to John. It's nice to drop in on your show every 7 years or so. And John, I just wanted to call and wish you the best of luck. Yeah, you're going to make a great rabbi.
Yeah,
thank you. I also want you to know that after all these years of being exposed to conservative viewpoints, we have a team of deprogrammers standing by to help you. And although we never spend a lot of time together, we have a lot in common. I also love radishes. And I love your music. I wanted to say that. But I've got to be honest, the first time I heard the words pop culture, I thought it meant your lab results were back.
John, I've got to bust into ask. Even though you're leaving, is that fat redheaded boy still going to be hanging around a lot? The guy in your band?
I don't know. You know, I'd be cleaving to you guys.
We'd like to see him.
He's a nice boy.
I want to know whether Buzz is going to teach John and Kimberly how to swing.
Oh boy, that's an excellent question, Gordon.
I've been waiting, and I just want you to know, John, that through thick and thin, and we've seen you both ways. The effect you've had on my life is negligible. But good luck, John. We all love you, and it will not be the same place around WJFK without you. And as one nice guy to another, we're screwed.
Thank you, Buzz.
Take care, John. Good luck.
Thank you,
man.
Both, Don and Buzz.
Thanks, Gordon. Goodbye, John.
Bye, bye.
Bye, bye.
Don't ever call me, John. You're dead to me now.
All right.
Buzz ran out of this Milton Berle joke.
Buzz, right? Really, right? I mean, we should have tuxedos on doing this.
Yes, we should.
It's like, Dean, where's Milton Berle?
Wait. Now you've got to hear the pièce de résistance.
Yes. This is the longest part,
yes,
right?
Yes. Rob had been working on this script.
You know, let me do a break first.
Because it's a five-page script.
Will we be able to pepper it with our comments?
I don't think so. I think we'll just have to... Well, no, I can tell Toya to stop the tape, right?
Oh, Toya's running the tape.
Toya's running the tape. We'll probably be best just to let it roll.
Very good, John.
But when we come back... Now, I know that all day yesterday, Rob had been talking about doing this spot for Gigo and Liddy for John Pop.
Yeah, he's a good... I think John's probably closer to Rob than anybody else.
Closest friend. And Rob said to me last night, he said, I got an idea for the tribute to John. Yes, me on the way up here. Good. How about the theme from Shaft?
Yeah.
And so in the car, we started going, who's the man that won't cop out? Women of the way, Pop.
John Pop.
Well, Rob actually wrote a five-page script, including ad-libs from Charlie Boyville.
We, of course, and Charlie does need his ad-libs to be scripted.
Yeah, right.
All very scripted.
It's all very scripted. Let's do a break. We'll hear that, and we'll give away the trip to Salt Lake City right after this.
Broadcast from the studios of WNW in New York City. Right here, Don and Mike.
Right, you're right about everything, Reggie White.
That's right.
Right. We'll talk about the Knicks in a moment with Marv Albert. Knicks suck. They lost last night.
Yes.
But first, I want to hear Rob Spiewak and Charles Boyhill today on the Liddy Show. And as I mentioned, this was a pre-scripted segment in which they're reading off Rob's handwritten scripts.
And I got here today. They were busily at the microphones performing their two-man show.
So, Toya, if you've got it, roll it.
We're going to present two other producers from WJFK who are producing at the moment up there at WNEW, our flagship New York station. Charlie Broyhill and Rob Spiewak.
That's Spiewak.
P with a P.
Well, it says T right here. What does that say, John?
It says Spiewak.
Spiewak.
Is it Spiewak working right, John?
I had it right at Charlie. you know, Charlie, I'm going to bequeath the P-Touch to you. You can have it.
I look forward to that. You know what's exciting about a John Pop roast?
Yes, you know.
When the roast is complete, how many it will feed.
Mr. Spiewak, how are you?
Very well. Well, we have a few off the cuff tough remarks that we'd like to do. There's been no preparation here. So, Charlie, if you'd like to start at the
page one.
What up, G-Money?
You know, Jordan, it's an honor and a privilege to speak to you. And thank you for taking our call.
It's my. How may I serve you,
General? Jordan, we understand that Kathy Lee is leaving your show. I'm sorry, it's John Cobb. John has told us that his new job would be sitting in front of a computer.
Ironic, considering that the last time John used a computer, he spoiled the surprise of Cameron's going away party.
But, you know,
he spends a lot of time in front of the computer checking out the porno sites.
Yeah, well, we see John in front of the computer, but we can't see the computer. You know, John's not big on surprises. I had to confirm this surprise with him yesterday. So, before we continue with our review and comment upon the pop, we'd like to answer, for the benefit of the listeners, some FAQs.
Yes, some frequently asked questions. For example, what did we learn about the John Plop?
Well, Charlie, around WJFK, John has inspired a lot of hope. I, for one, know that, yes, you can actually make a decent living without actually doing any work. In fact, most of WJFK's programming department now subscribes to John's personal motto, which is, quote, let Erica take care of it.
Does John Pop's departure mean the end of the BMSC, the Big Man Supper Club?
No, Charlie, it doesn't. The BMSC will live on. It simply means that myself and future NFL Hall of Famer Matt Elliott will have to increase our food intake by 50% each, and we will be encouraging young Matt's staff to eat a lot of butter and ice cream, so we'll see how that goes.
So he can live up to his last name.
Exactly.
Is John optimistic about his new job?
Yes, he is, Bolts, and he's very excited to be at yet another job where he won't ever use the DM-800 digital editor.
Has WJFK planned to go in a leg gift?
Ironically, we have, but it's been hard. We can't find any place that will bronze a yellow plastic bowl full of radishes and celery.
Will this new job allow John to continue his modeling career?
No. You know, a lot of people don't know John had a modeling career, but he hasn't posed since he sat for the guy on the board game Operation. John was the inspiration for the patient in the wacky doctor's game.
Ted, is there an ancient proverb that suits this occasion?
Why, yes, Bob,
there is.
Confucius say, as you go through the Chinese restaurant of life, may your navy grog always come in the skull mug that has no chip in it. That's mostly for John.
That's got to be an inside joke.
But seriously, folks, when Matt Stout invited us to appear on this fine stage and on this fine program, he asked us to relate our favorite John Pop moment. And mine actually comes back from 1992 when I used to think John was really sort of in a position of power at WJFK. I actually went to one of his personality appearances, and my dad happened to be there as well.
Oh, boy.
And I thought it would be really nice to impress my dad by saying, you know, hey, here's the executive producer of the G. Gordon Liddy Show. And I was afraid that my dad might mess it up, so it was sort of tense. And he went up and he said, hi, John, I'm Bob Spiewak. It's nice to meet you. And my dad was sort of in some hip clothes. He had a beaded belt around his jeans. And so John replied, and yeah, hey, Squanto, nice belt. That's when I first knew that John was and still is about the funniest guy at JFK. Now, I know, Charlie, you have a favorite John Pop memory.
This should be good.
Charlie? He used to have a ponytail.
That's quite touching. good job, Goy Hill. We'd like to close our tribute with an original piece of poetry, if we may.
We hope it meets with your high standards of English, Gordon.
Yes, we were public schooled with outcome-based education. So we'll see how this goes.
Good Lord.
Our poem is called Plop.
Pop.
No, Pop.
Noel?
Noel. I didn't spell check this. I'm sorry. And it goes a little something like this. Who's the radio producer that's a white sex machine to all the chicks? Pop. Damn right. Who's the cat that won't cop out when there's danger all about? John Pop. Right on. Who's the man who'll lend a hand to always help out his brother man? Pop. I hear hear that John Pop is a bad
shut
mother.
Your mouth.
Only talking about Pop,
then we can dig it.
He's a complicated man, and no one understands him but his Gordon.
John Pop.
Right on.
In all seriousness, John, you really are going to be missed at WJFK.
And brother.
With your exit, I'm sure that it's really going to be felt by anyone who's ever had the true pleasure of meeting you. And all the best wishes for your future endeavors.
Why Mike and I are here doing the show and Rob and Charlie are producing it, I believe you just heard the answer.
What was the thing with the Navy grog and the chip? What was that?
I was laughing right up until then, and then that just officially killed me.
That seriously was just between John and I. When we used to go out to this one Chinese restaurant in Fairfax, we would always get a drink in a skull mug. There was only two of these skull mugs. We always bet to see who would get the one that had the chip in it.
Ah, the chip.
Okay.
See, in this high-tech day and age, I think of a chip as a computer chip.
I don't know.
All I know is that's a piece of ratings cancer that ate at two different national shows today. It ate at Gordon's show at about 12 noon today and ate at ours about 4:45 tonight.
He was the subject, John Pop, Gordon's producer, of much ribbing, and that's why I think everybody devoted this much time to him, because everybody had a little story about the guy, and he really is a nice guy.
Everybody likes John. I think that is the last time that we will hear Rob and Charlie perform one of their skits, though, on this show. No, I don't think I'd be surprised.
I did enjoy the part where they're calling each other by their new names, Head and Bolt.
Head and Bolt, okay. Time out. Please, time out, for the love of God.
For the love of God!
When we come back, Marv Albert will be on the line, and we got your next shot to win $500 with a secret sound.
All right.
So if you're still listening, oh my God, that means in 1 week we've played Dennis Murphy Going to a Prom.
Yes.
And the Rob and Boy Hill skit.
Yes, come back to us, ladies and gentlemen.
If you're still listening, be the 100th caller right now on the toll free at 877-365-3636. Your shot at 100.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
$500. Be caller 100.
You're home of the king.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my ass.
Broadcasting live from New York, New York, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, now Big Free, let's welcome back to the Don and Mike Show. We've been here before.
A real stand-up guy. We're big fans of Marv Albert and could not be happier that Marv Albert is back
where he belongs, calling the Nick games. Hello, Marv.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Does this count as a second appearance?
Yes. I would think, Marv, you probably don't remember. It's really your third. One time it was an assault call.
I recall. No, I remember we talked about that last year, actually. Yes.
When you told us that you were eating a sandwich when it
It was an excellent corned beef on rye, as I recall.
The great Marv Albert back, calling the game. Marv, all the other crap aside, how great does it feel to be back doing just what you did before?
Well, for me, it's wonderful to be back, but the return was actually last year, so not to take anything for granted, I think I felt more of that last season when I made my return. So it's really like 2.5 years back, or a little over two. But I'm certainly doing more this season because it's been a combination of the NBC and Turner. And I was doing Turner last year along with, with the Knicks and all the Madison Square Garden activities. So it's been pretty busy, and I loved it. I went through a stretch recently where I think Bill Walton made the comment, of all people, because he's in the same situation. He said every time he puts on a game, it sounds like I'm doing it. Of course, Bill is a guy who is not only doing games, but he's doing a website for MSNBC. He's on every radio show in America. And, he's doing speaking engagements twice a day.
So now, because all the rest of the playoffs are on NBC, you're done now, right?
This year and next year, with Bob Costas stepping aside, I would do the conference finals and the finals. I go back to the regular sequence, but the Turner had its last game last night, so I'm doing the radio for the Knicks, so it depends how long they last.
Let me ask you about that. Last night, when Latrell Sprewell had the ball, how come he didn't go
inside. How come he like backed up and did a fadeaway when the guy who was on him was only like 6'1"? Shouldn't you go to the basket in that instance?
Well, under normal conditions, yes. I think Luttrell is playing hurt. He's just not the same guy right now, and I have a feeling that affected, you know, whether he would do a spin move or he would go baseline or fake left and, you know, take it across the lane. He played like 44 minutes. He was 3 of 14. He has not done it in recent games down the stretch, and that's usually been a strong point, but he has a calf injury, and they're a hobbling team. I mean, aside from the Patrick Ewing injury, and I guess they say he's day to day, but I think the feeling is he will play tomorrow. Childs is hurt. Camby is not the same. I mean, he's just not the same guy. There's something, you know, he's back from an ankle injury, but he's not able to finish, and that was right through the Miami series. And of course, they're paying a little bit more attention to Marcus Camby these days. So they're a club that's. And of course, everybody can say the same thing because it's a game of attrition once you reach the playoffs.
Do you think what was the mood after the Knicks lost last night? Do you think that they, you know, being the comeback team that they are, do you think that they've got that in their mind, or were they pretty devastated by the second?
Well, they're the type of club that usually thrives on adversity. You don't want to test that too often, you know, or too dramatically. But I feel that they're confident. It's back at the Garden tomorrow. The crowd will be crazy. It'll be a lot of focus on Reggie Miller. You know, that's going to happen the same way it did in Philadelphia. I think they feel pretty good about getting back into the series. And if they could have stolen one game, and in both instances, even though they did not come out in game one with any intensity, they were still in it. You know, it doesn't mean anything. They did not get the win, but still, it was a winnable game. And certainly last night was a winnable game.
Yeah.
And they were not able to do it. But I think they've been in this situation so frequently that that last night's memory is gone.
The last thing we must ask you about is Count Van Gundy's car. When it got burned and torn over by that airplane. First, what is Count Van Gundy doing driving a 1995 Honda? And did you see the car after it got destroyed?
I saw. Yeah, we saw some video of it. It's pretty scary when you think. I've been at that airfield, and the cars are usually lined up. Either cars picking up people, or the players leave their cars the day before. And it's very fortunate that there was not a person standing there.
Yeah, really.
It would have been a tragic situation. So, as the player said, Alan Houston apparently lost a Mercedes in the process because Van Gundy's car, because of that propeller burst, smashed into Alan's car. You know, it's an automobile, and so what? Could have been worse.
Is that like a good luck charm for him? Is that why he,
What, you mean with Jeff? Yeah, I think he was just, he's a very low-key guy, and I think he, felt attached. Serviceable car, drives it to the airport. That's basically, I think that's what it was,
All right, Marv, listen, thank you. Have a great call on the next game.
Well, thank you, guys.
Tomorrow night.
So what, did you kick Rudy off the show?
Well, frankly, he's a speed. Them. If you want, I'll bring him in.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
Thank you, Marv.
Give him my best.
All right,
okay, guys. Thank you very much.
The great Marv Albert. Yeah, Marv knows the Rudy driving also.
No, it's okay.
Yeah, right.
And, Marv Albert, A-okay in our book. And, like I told you yesterday, he didn't feel comfortable taking the sex quiz. And we let him off the hook with this, frankly. The last time he was on the show, he was
talking about everything.
He let it all go. Joining us now from Florida, where he's at Dick Vitale's daughter's wedding. Does Dick Vitale have, what does he have, 15 daughters that get married every year?
No, it's just two of them, and now this is the second one.
I've got a beautiful girl. Here from USA Today is America's number one TV sports journalist, Rupert Marzke. Well, Rupert, Marvin.
Yeah, it's a human speed bump, I guess.
Marvin Albert was great, as he always is on this show.
Will you be staying with the Vitales in their room?
Well, we're not going to be in their room. Moss and I are looking over the dump of the hotel, but this is a beautiful Ritz-Carlton down here in Naples, Florida.
Wow. Hey, Rudy, let me ask you something about Dick Vitale's daughter.
Yeah.
Is she the apple of your daddy's eye?
Well, she and the other daughter, they both played at Notre Dame tennis.
scholarship girls at Notre Dame.
Dick Vitale has one eye.
One eye. Right?
He's got a glass eye.
Oh, okay, that's right. I didn't catch that.
You are very close to Dick Vitale. Has he ever taken the eye out for you?
He has not done that. No, no. Fitz milked that a long ways. The one eye thing.
Oh, he's milked it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And every telecast will say, "Hey, I'm only one eye. I'm bald, one-eyed, ex-coach." But I could see that play better than the rest.
He's a big, tall, lanky, bald, one-eyed.
How did he lose? You know,
monster.
Since we're on the subject, how did he lose the eye?
You know what I'm thinking about, Rob.
Yeah. He lost it as a kid. I think he was about 11 years old. And I don't even know what instance he lost it at, but I think that was the age. And he's been without it ever since. And,
Rob, hold on, Rudy. Can I talk about that guy you told me about yesterday?
No, I can't.
Oh, all right.
Sorry.
Rob told me a great story about a guy with a glass eye yesterday.
Really?
Yeah, but all right, I won't repeat it.
Have to hear it during the commercial.
Tell you during the spots. But Rudy, I understand you have news about Jacksonville Jaguar head commandant Tom Coughlin.
Yeah, Tom Coughlin, we just picked up the word today, actually courtesy of Chris Fowler, who is here from ESPN, that Coughlin is eyeing the Notre Dame job. They may be making a change in this late in this offseason at Notre Dame. Bob Davies is a coach who did not do well. And Coughlin, it might surprise you, but he has always eyed the Notre Dame job, always was enamored with it, and he did coach at Boston College at one time.
God, my sympathy's gone out to the sophomores at Notre Dame. My God.
Camp Coughlin. But it's not, this is just starting, the rumor just started today, and thought I'd pass it along to you guys.
Well, that is an excellent rumor. Rudy, how many media ass-kissers are down there at Dick Vitale's daughter's wedding? You mentioned, of course, yourself, Chris Fowler. Who else is in that happy gang that we would know?
Well, Digger Phelps is here. There's just about 350 of Dick's closest friends.
Well, who doesn't love Dick? The one-eyed Dick.
That's right. I thought you guys would play that.
All right, Rudy, thank you for getting more of Albert. We got to go get a call 100.
Okay, guys.
All right, see you. Okay. Bye-bye. There you go. From Florida.
Absolutely loves Dick Vitale.
Yes, he does love Dick. Hello, this is Don of Mike's show.
Hello.
Hi, listen, thank you for waiting. I forgot we did the contest and we had Marv Albert on.
Yeah, it was a busy, busy sports segment there.
What is what's your name?
Kelly Robbins.
Where are you from, Kelly?
Atlanta, Georgia.
Kelly, you are the 100th caller, darling.
All right.
You have won the 6 cents prize pack. Order the 6 cents tonight.
Yeah.
From Cox Cable In Demand. Call 378-8888 to order. Are you ready to go with the secret sound?
I have no idea what it is, but sure.
Well, honey, why were you calling?
I don't know, because it said to.
She was just motivated by our incredible...
I was motivated by Don and Mike. Well, what can I say?
All right, well, should I give her a guess or just give her a prize? Let someone play who really knows.
Give her a guess. You never
give her
know.
A guess.
Even a blind squirrel. Why not?
All right. Here's the sound. We'll play you the secret sound, a common everyday sound.
Good luck, baby.
You tell us what the sound is. You win $500. Please don't answer until Mike sings like...
Dick Vitale.
And we wish you Godspeed.
Caller, name this sound.
There it was. Did you even hear that?
No.
All right, let me play it for you again. Hold on. There it is. That is the sound.
And the five time odds are in my favor, baby.
Yes, lady from Atlanta who doesn't have a clue why she's calling. What is that sound?
A door closing.
That's what I thought.
No, we're sorry.
Absolutely not.
I thought it was a big oak door closing.
You think this is a big...
Yeah, heavy, one of those heavy like you'd see in a Frankenstein.
Yeah, right. Thank you for listening. And don't forget, please, that every guest
is
a clue for you. Okay, now, let's give away the trip to Utah that we have.
Oh, very exciting.
Trip to the Sundance Film Festival. And this is courtesy of Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, now available digitally remastered on sale at video stores everywhere. We've given away about 35 prizes this week, which means everybody that's won something on the show has a chance to win. Answer your phone by saying, Rudy Martsky loves the one-eyed Dick. That is the phrase that pays this time. Answer your phone by saying, Rudy Martsky loves the one-eyed Dick.
The password is,
Rudy Marnsky loves the one-eyed dick.
And, Robbie?
Yes?
I just picked one at random. Number 14, why don't you dial that up while I get some music going there.
Now don't say hello. Simply answer your phone by saying, Rudy Marnsky loves the one-eyed dick. If you say hello, you don't win.
Right. You gotta say, Rudy Marnsky loves the one-eyed dick.
Even if you're at work, and don't forget the delay.
Yeah. Right. Don't say hello. Say, Rudy Marnsky loves the one-eyed dick.
Let's see what happens.
Let's trip to Utah.
I'm sorry, you have reached a number that has been disconnected or is no longer in service.
All right, let's try that one. Push another one at random.
Here we go.
Very, very bold experiment on my part now. Letting shakes dial the phone.
Here we go.
These are very long fingers. Longer than I would have expected. You don't spend a lot of time checking out Rob's hands.
Never have before. Until that moment.
All right, Rudy loves the one-eyed dick. Say it and win right now.
It's pretty interesting looking at him.
Rudy Marnsky loves the one-eyed dick.
Yeah!
Yeah! Christ, that was so easy.
Good job.
That was too easy. This must be...
This is Angie.
Angie Bennett.
Yes!
Angie Bennett.
Way to go, Angie.
Thank you. I love you guys.
I love you, Angie. You live in Quantico, Virginia?
Yeah.
Angie, you bought a trip for two to Salt Lake City, Utah to go to the Sundance Film Festival.
I am amazed. I can't believe it.
Amazing.
Yay, yay, yay.
Your trip includes round-trip air, 3 nights hotel and accommodations, tickets to films during the festival, brought to you, of course, by Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Now it's at video stores everywhere. Angie, have a great time. Just watch out for those goddamn Mormons.
Okay, can I say one thing?
Of course.
I just want to thank Mike, because yesterday I was not being assertive when I was the 100th caller, and I always listen to people doing that, and I always think, why do you not just say I am the 100th caller, and I messed up, because I didn't expect y'all to answer the phone, and Mike kind of took up for me. I know it's Mike Day.
Not again, it's
Mike Day.
It's
what a day.
Day today.
What a day. Well, you know what? Hey, I'll go with you.
Thank you, Angie. Hold on, please.
Thank you.
Mike, who knew? Who knew that Mike Day was right before Memorial Day?
Yeah, well, we'd make it a national holiday.
Jesus Christ. It's Mike Day. It's the One-Eyed Dick Day.
Mike Day.
It's Mark Albert Day.
Every day is Mike Day.
Okay. What a day.
And I got a chance to see Rob's hands when he was dialing. Hands that never threw a ball.
You got to see Heads, hands.
Heads, dove-like hands.
Time out. We'll be right back.
Live from New York City,
right.
It's the Don and Mike Show.
Again, we want to thank the good people at George Mason University's Trained Technology Program. They gave us away that NASCAR trip we did yesterday.
They're the ones that did that.
Right, the MNBA Winston Cup NASCAR race. Go to www.ttt.gmu.edu for a schedule of upcoming info at George Mason University.
I'm dizzy.
Before we get to low-budget Jeff R.D.,
yes,
let's check in at the beach house.
Ah, very good. They should be arriving today, right?
Yeah, I know. Homo Jose. Robbie! Use those bony fingers. Dial the phone.
There they are.
Homo Joe is at the beach house now. The setup for this Memorial Day weekend and all next week at the beach house.
Man, it's another hell of a bat.
Call cannot be completed as time.
Try line five. The setup, you're going to be hearing all next week on the show.
See, it's easy to dial the phone, huh?
And he's not even talking.
It's easy to dial when you've got a big smile and your head is too big for the hat.
But the man who can smile is the man who's worthwhile when he says, I'll never have held a bat. Rob is dialing the beach house now. H-A-U-S.
There we go.
In Dewey Beach, Delaware, where for an entire week we're going to have a bunch of strangers living together. And all next week on the show, you'll hear their escapades. Hello.
Homo Joe here, Donna Mike.
Homo Joe here.
You're at the house.
We're at the house, and we have two arrivals, but just one just went outside to go get some more luggage.
Oh, now these are girls who are there?
Yeah, this is all females, remember? All female house.
Now, I thought that Timmy Obibene, the Nigerian nightmare, was going to be spending Memorial Day weekend with you.
He will when Miss Bobby lets him off, you know how that goes.
Miss Bobby Taskmaster.
Yeah, the Taskmaster won't let him off early, but he will be here tonight.
Now, the deal
is that Joe will be at the beach house with up to, we signed up seven girls.
Seven girls, chock full of girls.
Seven hot girls to go live with Homo Joe for an entire week at this beautiful beach house in Dewey Beach, Delaware.
Cheryl the Dyke along with Dave the Fag going down there.
Cheryl the Big Dyke and Dave the Fag right. will also be in the house this weekend along with Timmy the Nigerian Nightmare.
That's right.
Which means if the house is open to capacity, we could have as many as 13 sweaty, horny people living together.
There will be people sleeping on the floor.
Joe, do you have your trusty tape recorder?
Not yet. Tim is bringing it with him, so we will do it then, and we'll have a safe sex lecture I'm going to give the ladies. I have female condoms to give out.
Are you giving them a lecture right now?
Not yet, because they're not all here. Only two are here.
Are you cooking?
Yes.
Homo Joe always has great Homo Joe recipes
right.
that he'll be laying on the people. Now, Joe, when you go out...
Literally.
Yeah. When you go out tonight, for instance, are you all going to go clubbing tonight?
Yes, because it's ladies' night free. So okay. We're going to go up to the bottle and cork and take the ladies out and see how many men can attack them.
So when you go clubbing tonight, are you going to keep meticulous notes so we know everything that happens?
Well, I will have notes, and plus hopefully I have the recorder because Tim will be down.
That's right. Fantastic.
Now, when it's ladies' night and the ladies drink free, do you at least get half price?
Yes, because I am the den mother.
Good. See, all the girls that have signed up to be at this beach house have pretty much, they signed a waiver,
mm-hmm.
which means they've signed away their life.
Absolutely.
Which means that anything that they do during the entire week that they're under the care of Homo Joe yeah. will be open to, you know, open to us here on the Don and Mike show.
And we have more, I mean, even though it's all women, we just plain have more bodies in the
yeah.
beach house this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean bodies like bodies. I mean, we've just got more people.
People.
Absolutely.
Right. And you know that the girls will pick up boys and mm-hmm. then they bring boys back because this happens every year and they'll
right.
have sex and Joe will tell us about it and some girls will hate other girls and Joe's just a great guy to have in the middle of all that.
But I have one thing to say, Don. I'm worried about Charlie Stoffel.
Why are you worried about Charlie Stoffel?
Because the girl that won the beach house that is dated him that one time
right.
is an extreme hottie.
Oh, really?
She really?
Extreme hottie.
So you're worried about Charlie, why? Because he couldn't...
Gay. He didn't take this girl over.
Oh, Joe, that's...
Wait a minute,
silly.
Let me see if I've got this straight. You think that Charlie Stoffel may be gay, Joe?
Or have some problems, I don't know.
And this is Homo Joe now coming up with this theory.
That's right.
An accredited homosexual who is... Hey, Joe, when's the last time that you had butt sex with that Peruvian guy?
Just before I came down to the beach, I stopped.
So a man who's just had Peruvian butt sex thinks that Charlie Stoffel may be gay.
Well, I don't know. This woman is so attractive. I just don't know why he didn't want to go out with her.
So this is one of the ladies that's already arrived, right?
Yes.
Is she with you right now?
Yes, she's with you.
Oh, shocker.
Yeah.
And what about the other girl who's there?
The other girl is parking her car illegally. You know how down there they get you with the
all right.
parking.
Yeah. Hard to find a legal parking place down
there. It's difficult because there's more men than women right now, but that's my delight, but the girls will find their delight as well.
That's my delight.
You know, you might want to bribe one of those 16-year-old police officers.
Be careful.
All right, Homo Joe, have a great weekend.
Well, thank you, Donna Mike, and thank you for letting us come down here, and we'll have lots of good stuff coming from the beach house.
You got to keep meticulous notes, keep your tape recorder rolling. We want to know who does what to who, how much.
And who's first.
Yes, and who's first.
Good report, Joe. You worked on your stuttering. It's terrific.
I'm working very hard on that today.
Thank you. Homosexual Joseph, once again, the bulletin from Joe.
Mm-hmm.
He believes Charlie Stoffel may be gay.
There you go. That's what we got out of today's report.
Thank you. Thank you, Joe.
Okay, talk to you later.
We will talk to you after the holiday.
All right, talk to you. Bye-bye.
Joe will be there. All weekend with seven girls and Dave the Fag and Cheryl the Big Dyke and Timmy the Nigerian Nightmare.
You ever picture him getting off the phone with us and he just like wipes his brow and goes, oh,
all right, let's party. You know it. That was exhausting.
Absolutely.
Boy, I get so worked up when they call, but now we can all go out to the crab house. And back at the station, just let me know when Stossel calls.
Just
put it right through.
When the gladiator calls.
Okay, let's get to a regular Friday.
That's the right order. Let's see who got it right. And in the fastest time, Ted Patrick. Congratulations. We have five people from New Jersey in the fastest finger, and you're one of them from Somerdale, New Jersey. What do you do?
Computer catalog salesperson. I take orders over the phone.
What did you do last night, Ted?
Actually, I stayed in and watched ABC.
All right. Your partner Thomas is up there. Hi, Tom. How you doing?
Hi, Regis.
Nice to see you. What would you do if you won the $1 million?
Pay off all the bills and splurge and go get a dozen pairs of shoes at once.
All right, fine. All right, good.
Broadcasting from the legendary studios of WNEW in New York City, here's Don and Mike.
Did you hear that, Randy? Regis Philbin is he's uncomfortable around homosexuals.
Not me. As long as they support me, I'm very happy. As long as they eat plenty of good tender roast chicken, I love it. You want to join me for the weekend? We're going to do some pranks on other fast food joints.
What are you going to do?
Well, you know that big sign they have out in front of McDonald's?
Yeah, well, it says like 90 billion served.
No, it says billions and billions served. So I got a can of spray paint. On Monday morning, it's going to say billions and billions of Nazis served.
Oh, there you go. Now, that's not very nice.
Have you ever seen human waste on a speaker at the drive? Go, Colonel. Go, Colonel.
You're going to put excrement on the speaker at the drive-thru?
My own. Absolutely. We're going to have big time fun, I'll tell you right now. And I'm going to go into the middle of the Olive Garden, and I'm going to show you what kind of family they've got. I'm going to have a fake epileptic seizure right on the floor, right in the salad bar.
You can do the Olive Garden to be competition.
Everybody's competition. Olive Garden, TGI Fridays. Absolutely. I tell people outside of TGI Fridays that those red stripes are blood.
Randy, I mean, Colonel.
Hi there, good Colonel.
Let's play low budget Jeopardy.
Absolutely, Doc. Let's say hi to our challenger. This is an individual from Baltimore, Maryland. He's an engineer, and his name is Tom Monroe.
And let me get him on the line here. Tom, hey, Tom, buddy.
Hey, Don Mike.
Got him.
And now entering the studio is our returning low budget Jeopardy champion. His one day total, $37 from Ashburn, Virginia. Let's say hi to the very talented Jesse Metzger.
Jesse, being a returning low budget Jeopardy champion, can you tell us how this changed your life, please?
Oh, everybody recognizes me now.
Hey, that's real creative. And now entering the studio is the host of low budget Jeopardy. Remember, Tom. Don't
screw
with LQ and say a big KMC hello to Alex
Trebek Geronimo. Thank you, Randy. And if I heard you correct,
yes.
You're going to be spending this weekend spreading your own human waste.
Absolutely.
On drive through window speakers.
Only the competition. You wanted it'll be waste free at KFC.
Okay.
You'll be able to drive up there and order your chicken without any problem.
Tom and Jesse, always remember, never forget, answer in the form of a question I live with my mom. Wear your clip on tie soup. I missed a guy. Call me Alex, unless we're playing the game. Then it's LQ and Quizmaster. And always call him Randy Quaid. Don't call him the Colonel.
Call him the Colonel. Hey, delivery boy, there's a hair in my pizza.
He is Randy Quaid, an awful actor. Dennis Quaid's retarded brother.
Thank you very much.
And here are your categories, boys. They are... Name that Tom.
Name that Tom.
Hey, Rob.
Come on now.
No, what do you think, Rob?
He's coming with me this weekend.
Oh, is Rob's B.Y.?
Well, he loves the Colonel. He's wearing the same suit.
Around the world. Name that Tom, first category. Second category, around the world.
Around the world. Oh, boy, that's fun. Let's go on a trip, go.
Third category, Angela Jolie.
Ooh.
Did she say it or not?
She's hot. She's a Colonel likes her. I'd love to do a scene with her. What if she do a real crappy movie?
Fourth category, new and home video.
I'm on a lot of videos.
And the final category, states and capitals.
I'm no good at that.
All right, so once again, your categories, guys, are Name That Tom.
I'm super slow.
Around the World. Angela Jolie, did she say it or not?
Uh-huh.
New on home video, states and capitals. And Tom, you are the challenger. We will start with you.
I will take Around the World for one, please.
All right. This country has the most tractors in the world.
What is the United States?
That's right. We're number one.
Go, Tommy.
Yeah,
that's $1 for you. You better select again. Good.
All right. I'll take Around the World for two.
This country has the most fish caught in the world.
Ooh, what is China?
This guy's a freaking genius. That's right, China.
Thank you, sir.
Jesse's got some competition today.
And Around the World for three, please.
This country has the longest life expectancy.
Oh, what is the UK?
Got you there, smart guy.
All right, Jesse, here's your chance to steal. Try to get this one.
What is Japan?
Japan is correct.
Pretty smart guys. We got smart guys surrounding me.
Two smart guys.
All right, select again, Jesse.
I'll take Angelina Jolie. Did she say or not for one?
All right. Before I die, I want to taste everyone in the world.
What is she said it?
She did.
So do I.
She did say it.
All right. Hey, everyone in this room, I want to taste you all.
Oh, shut up.
Colonel wants to taste you.
Shut up.
Thank you. All right, Jesse, salute again.
I'll take the same thing for two, please.
Now, I'm going to have to fix this. I'm going to have to...
You're going
to
fix the game? That's illegal.
No, I'm going to fix this answer. What she said was, I love it in the A.S.
A.S. Work with me.
No. I'm going to put the word butt in. She says, I love it in the butt more than anywhere else.
No, she did not say it.
That's right, she did not say that.
$2 for you, Jesse. Select again. Wow, you're doing real well.
Same thing for three, please.
I am always on top during intercourse.
She said it.
Oh, you know a lot about Angela Jolie.
I'd like to let her be on top of the kennel.
She said she wants to taste everyone in the world. She has had no sex, but she didn't say she loves it in the butt more than anywhere else.
I don't like that. That's an exit. That's to be used.
Hey, we agree.
Yeah, that's an exit, not an entrance. That is to be used for only two things.
What?
Relieving yourself and pulling pranks.
She did say she's on top during sex. Jesse, go again, please.
Bagel, state from capitalist for one, please.
It is the capital of the great state of California.
What is Sacramento?
That's an Excremento. Right.
Dollar, go again, Jesse.
State from capitalist for two, please.
Wisconsin.
What is Madison?
That's right, Jesse.
$2 for Jesse. You're blazing the trail. I no wonder you're the return of champions.
States and capitals for three, please.
Louisiana.
Whoa.
Oh,
here you go, Tom Monroe. Here's a chance for you to steal.
Baton Rouge.
Yes, sirree. Ooh, boy. Hey, made me just think of Popeyes. Popeye the Fag. All right. Jesse, you're in control.
Name that song for one, please.
Name that Tom. Now, this is the Rob Spiegelman Show. This might be a different category.
Absolutely. Okay.
Turn testicular cancer into a great TV show.
Who is Tom Green?
That's right.
$1. I watched that. That was a good show. I asked him if I could borrow his.
His cancer-filled nuts?
Sure. You ever see that in a tray? A tray in a serving line? Ooh, what's this? I just stand up there in my white suit and just say, hey, it's a Tom Green testicle.
Okay, Jesse, here we go. Name that song for two. It's not unusual.
Who is Tom Jones?
You pulled that out of your ass.
Absolutely right, Jesse. $2 for Jesse. He is rolling select again. Boom.
Name that song for three, please.
Still looking for a wife on the internet.
Stumped him. The door is open, Tom Monroe.
Who is Tom? I have no idea.
Tom Arnold.
You blew it, Tom.
Tom Arnold, Randy, incidentally, on the celebrity scale.
Sure, go ahead.
Tom Arnold, higher than you are.
Oh, God bless his little butt.
You mean higher than me? Yes, I mean, you are looking up at Tom Arnold.
No. I'm a pretty man.
Pretty man. Tom Arnold's prettier than you are.
How about my teeth?
Do I have pretty teeth?
You have chiclet-like teeth.
Look at my pretty, pretty long teeth.
Oh,
they're sharp, too. Sharp as sawn through flesh.
Who is it, Jesse?
Yeah.
Jesse's in control.
Jesse, all we have left is a new on home video. Are you ready?
Yeah, I am.
All right. New on home video this week stars Jim Carrey.
What is...
Got you.
Ooh, I just bit my tongue.
Yes.
Clean off. All right, Tom, your chance to steal.
What is Man in the Moon?
Man on the Moon, right.
I was thinking about my sharp pointed teeth. What was the dollar value?
That was Uno.
$1 for you, and you're in control, Tom.
New on home video for two.
Stars Russell Crowe.
Stars Russell Crowe.
Don't repeat. Jesse, your chance to steal.
I have no clue.
Mystery Alaska.
Mystery Alaska. All right, Tom, you're in control.
Hey, hold on. Let me ask you a question, Ray.
Yeah.
What about Applebee's?
Applebee's sucks.
Is that all you have to say about Applebee's?
Yeah, I got something to say, but I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it with my own stool.
Oh,
yeah. Applebee's.
Well, they don't have a drive-thru window at Applebee's.
I know. They don't need that. All you have to do is walk in a disguise, come out to your table, and then scream real loud, look what's sitting in the middle of my plate of pasta. That is totally unacceptable. I'd never eat at Applebee's again. Bring it in. The Colonel's... Randy. That's the alias I go with. Randy got something bad in
time as pasta. I tell you, I don't think that's a meatball.
They serve corn at KFC, don't they?
They serve corn. Yeah, come on. Enjoy it again a second.
Kenny Rogers Roasters.
Yeah, oh, Kenny Rogers Roasters. Yes! I'll tell you right now, I'd almost plumb driven them out of business. Absolutely. I say, I walk up to the drive-thru, I hit the guy over the head that's taking the chicken order, and then I slide in behind him when they say, I'd like a Kenny Rogers Roaster. I said, oh, I guess you'd like to support a guy that likes to go and look at internet porn sites. Yes, sirree.
Jack in the Box.
Phone sex, phone sex.
Or Jack
enjoy
in the Box. Jack in the Box.
Yeah, talk to the clown. He's Pennywise, too.
Yes,
I can lure children into the sewer.
Okay, Jesse, just do the last question on the board. New on home video this week. Stars.
It's the other guys.
Oh, Tom. Sorry, Tom.
Thank you.
Stars Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage? I don't know.
Right. Jesse, it's your chance to see Jesse.
I have no clue either.
You know, I didn't know what he was talking about. Is some movie called Bringing Out the Dead?
Is it a movie?
Bringing Out the Dead.
Oh, knock it off, you guys. Hold on. Right. Both of you. Hold on.
Bringing Out the Dead. That's
hold
what
on.
They say when it's lunchtime at McDonald's.
Randy will be back with Final Low Budget Jet Party right after this.
Broadcasting from the studios of WNEW in New York City.
What a bitch.
John and Mike.
What? What a bitch.
Ooh, that lady you were talking about.
Oh, you mean Liv Soprano?
I don't like her at all. She doesn't have a positive attitude like me.
Go out and enjoy life. The purpose of life is to sabotage the competition.
Let me see if I have the guys online here. Tom and Jesse?
Yes, sir.
All right, boys. Final low-budget Jeopardy, and here we go. Your category is Money Changes Everything.
Ooh, I like that category.
And here's the answer. After a long renegotiation, each of the six friends will receive this amount of money per episode for the next 2 years. Okay? Everybody's heard the story. After a long negotiation, each of the six friends will receive this amount of money per episode for the next 2 years. Jesse, Tom, don't forget to answer in the form of a question and good luck.
All contestants on Low Budget Jeopardy will receive RQF, the new fungicide to combat really tough nail fungus. You know, this is serious now. Years ago, I lost all of my nails because of severe toenail fungus. So now that I just have fleshy nails, I've developed my new intriguing product, RQF, Randy Quaid Fungicide. So you can keep your nails, unlike me. Good luck. It really works. It's strong. Now back to Final Low Budget Jeopardy with Adam Sebastian your animal.
Dude, have you ever given some fun to you? Have you ever given thought to going into some competitors and simply wiping your feet on their food?
I tell you, what I do sometimes is I'll walk into a local Popeye's or a Jack in the Box and I'll wear sandals. Somebody will be stepping up there getting ready for a big burger meal and I'll point down and I'll say, look, no nails. They fell off and they were green. And they walk right out. I love it.
Who do I want to talk to here first, Colonel? I mean, Randy.
You want to talk to the challenger, Tom? He's the low man on the totem pole.
All right, Tom. Tom, buddy, here we go. Tom. Tom, friends, the friends. Each of the six friends will receive this amount of money per episode for the next 2 years.
What is $750,000?
Now, Tom, I must tell you, we hold you to the honor system on this show.
Yes.
And what you said to Charlie Broyhill was not $750,000.
No, it wasn't.
Ooh, that's
Tom, no,
bad.
I said $700,000.
Tom?
Yes.
Goodbye, Tom.
So, cheetahs never prosper on this show.
Goodbye, Tom.
Flush one down the toilet.
I just got rid of it. You know what that means?
Yes.
I don't even care that Jesse has the wrong answer. Jesse's the winner again.
Jesse, you want to give him the money and everything?
Yeah, give him the money.
Way to go, Jesse. You're our new low-budget Jeopardy champion because the other guy cheated.
Jesse.
Thanks, guys.
Jesse, your answer, $1 million, was also incorrect. However, at least you are man enough to come on the air and tell us the wrong answer. You see, that's the fail-safe system that we have, though. We have people give the answers to Broyhill.
That's right.
During your commercial.
During the 30 seconds.
Yeah, then he comes in with the answer.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you right now. You know, I'd like to meet that guy, Tom, though. He's a cheater. I cheat all the time.
Well, the answer, of course, as Tom knew after he answered, is $750,000. This is the first time, I believe, a guy's ever gotten the question wrong, and he still won the game. And you get the prizes also, Jesse.
Right, thanks.
This is the Colonel speaking. Hey, Tom, if you're listening, give me a call. Maybe we can go out to Popeye's and really make some dirty rice.
Okay.
Okay, tell him about his money and the prizes that he wins. And Tom, don't go away mad, just go away.
First of all, Jeff and UW scored a $30. You throw up a $25 bonus for a total of $55. And you beat yourself, you got $92 for you. Way to go. But wait, here are your prizes. Are you ready?
Yeah.
You have won a 6 cents prize pack. Order D, 6 cents tonight from Cox Cables. Ian D, man.
Call 703.
How do you read the commercials for Kentucky Fried Chicken?
Oh, they actually, we do it one word at a time.
Unlike Sammy Sosa's ad.
I go, go, and then they cut and Colonel. Colonel, go, go, tender, roast. That's the way we do it. Okay. I didn't even read the phone number yet for this guy, though. I can read numbers.
All right, go ahead.
Call 703-378-8888. Now to order. But wait.
There's more.
You had won a VHS copy of Butch. City. And the soon... Don soon that Sunday Kid, now available in a Dig Italy remastered format on sale at video stores everywhere. I know how to read that because I committed it to memory.
But wait,
there's more. You have won a Roadrunner prize pack provided by
Comcast.
Roadrunner Internet Service. Experience high speed and internet access by Comcast. Roadrunner Hotline at 703-378-3456. Thanks a lot for playing the game.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, Randy. Thanks, OQ.
Jesse, how about that? He got it wrong, but he's still the big winner. Well, listen, Randy.
Read better. I'm sorry I couldn't read well.
Randy, Colonel, whatever your name is, have a great weekend. Our best to Dave, to Wendy, to Mayor McCheese, to the Burger King, to all the people you despise so much.
I'm going
to
take my brown suit and get out of here.
Always remember and never forget that Low Budget Jeopardy is a production of...
Of Courant Incorporated and is distributed by King World. So long, bitch ass.
Bitch ass.
Money on today's show.
All right.
So, Colonel, call 100 right now. Call Troya, call Lisa,
call Boyle, or I'll stand by at 877-365-3636. Give you at least one more chance at the money on today's show. Be the 100th caller now for the news and the comments. And it's the Memorial Day weekend, which means, hey, guess what? The news is actually today running on time.
There you go.
So let's go now to the liar.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden,
one
man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Uh-huh.
He made it up.
Buzz the Liar, what is your lead story tonight on the news and comments?
It ain't over yet. Bobby Knight in trouble again.
The general. Yeah. The general. All right, we'll be back. Everybody stay tuned.
Stay tuned. For news and comments.
News and comments.
Coming up. On the Don and Mike Show.
That was very
professional.
Do you realize how many guys I've coached against that either played for me or coached for me? I mean, goddamn, I'd be an emotional wreck if I had emotions for every goddamn guy that I coach against that's played or coached or whatever. I mean, hell, I've had Jimmy Cruz. And goddamn, Jimmy played for me, was a great player, and coached for me for about 8 years. Christ, I should have gone to Denver and looked at him. And goddamn, I should have been just emotionally drained, for Christ's sake. Right.
Broadcasting live from New York, New York, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
I mean, goddamn. I'll be damned if they're going to get on Coach Mike. I'll be damned.
I'll use this watch for you if you're damned.
I'll be damned.
You know, I just watched him in some movie that I've never seen before, Suicide Kings.
Oh, yeah. Have you ever seen the one...
I'll be damned. It's where Jay Moore cuts off his... Who's the guy who said... Is it Christopher Walken?
Right. Yeah.
They cut off Christopher Walken's finger.
Right.
That still has a ring on it, and they tie him up to a chair because they're kidnapping
him. And he's still with it.
Yeah, they're kidnapping him. And Christopher Walken, who's in the chair, just says, give me a drink.
He's working the guy while
he's... Give me a drink.
He's got his finger cut off.
Why are you doing this to me?
You ever see the one where he plays the devil?
I forgot the name of it. I forgot the name of it, but he plays one of the fallen angels, and he's pursued, and he is fantastic. He likes weird roles.
I'll be damned.
Well, that's what he says in the movie.
He says that in the movie, yes.
Yeah. Greasy gook.
You're quoting from the movie.
I'll be damned.
Damn. So this watch, big deal.
Oh, hold on, man.
Hold on, I think I might have something.
Okay.
Bravo. It was pretty good.
Not bad.
Pretty good.
What was the name of that restaurant, Rob?
Palucci, wasn't it? Oh, the restaurant? I don't know. The China Regency, I think.
China Regency. That's hard courtesy of the China Regency, Midtown Manhattan.
That was a classy fart.
I think starting next week,
they're going to be sponsored again on this show.
Thanks to Tim McWilliams, who got that year-long schedule. Way to go, Tim. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello?
Hello, yeah.
Hey,
hold on. Rob's giving me a look there. I just thought I'd throw a little peace offering because I'm happy because it's the weekend.
Oh, all right. So your feud with Tim McWilliams is over.
Depends on how Tim behaves towards me next week.
Listen, hi, who is this?
This is Ryan in Gainesville.
Ryan in Gainesville, Florida or Georgia?
Yes.
Florida.
Gainesville, Florida, yeah.
Beautiful. You've won the Roadrunner Prize Pack provided by Cox Communications Roadrunner Internet Service. Please enjoy. Are you ready to go for the big bucks?
I am very ready.
Okay, we have $500, Secret Sound number 3. I'm sure you've heard it, right?
Actually, I haven't got a chance to hear this one.
Oh, really? Another virginal caller.
Here we Absolutely. Go.
All right, we'll play the sound for you now. Please don't answer until Mike sings like MBG.
I know it's Bob Dylan, but what's the first one?
Memorial.
Memorial Bob Dylan. We wish you good speed.
Oh.
I guess we should play the sound.
Caller, name this sound.
You know, that actually kind of tightens up the whole concept.
And the
I believe I've just stumbled onto the new Titan format.
Excellent.
Okay, listen, $500. What's the sound?
I'm going to go with locking the deadbolt.
Locking a deadbolt.
No.
No, absolutely not. Thank you, though. Remember that every guest is a clue
for you.
Clue for you. Time for news now with Buzz, brought to you by Budweiser. Make it a Bud summer. Bud and Bud Light are giving away thousands of great prizes. Visit Budweiser.com for details. Hello, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. But apparently, Indiana's Bob Knight is not out of the woods yet.
I think I got a dollop.
Oh, dear.
You have to do a little preventative maintenance?
I think I might have to go do a CW.
Oh,
you'll be doing some traveling, so you better get that taken care of.
Courtesy wipe.
Otherwise, you might have some pain.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
And God knows, based on the underpants I showed you that I wore running today in Central Park, it's not like I got a fresh pair I can throw on.
Hey, who's sitting next to you on the plane?
Hi, Rob. How you doing, buddy?
I'm lost again.
Hi, buddy.
Are you my friend, Rob? Are you my friend?
Not tonight, Don.
Yeah, like your underpants are as clean as mine.
I don't have a dollar, I know that.
How about a Fresca? All right, Buzz. Bobby Knight. Indiana University now says it will investigate charges of abuse from a former player.
Again, I mean, this is another?
How old is this story, Buzz?
A new charge, but this is from 10 years ago this happened.
This is what's pissing me off.
Right.
All these people.
I just laugh when you do this, because I know. Did you write him the letter?
I wrote him the letter, and I will bring it in next week.
Excellent. Very good.
I wrote him a letter on CBS stationery.
Good for you.
I wrote Bob Knight a letter. I swear to God I did. I wrote him a letter when he threw the chair, and I wrote him one now that said, you know, stand tall.
I think even Bobby Knight has gotten the message by now, right?
Yeah, but you know what pisses me off about this is, if this guy was really, and what does he allege Bobby Knight did to him?
Punched a guy.
Punched him.
Okay.
First off, who's to say that the guy, you know, didn't deserve it?
Right.
But second, let's say maybe it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how about coming out 10 years ago when it happened and saying something about it?
It is incredible cowardice to not. And if you've got a problem of the current players, you know, a player that's playing under him should come out and say something like that. And I agree. I mean, if you're going to do that, you come out when it happens.
When it happens, you don't wait for 10 years like a pussy.
Yeah, and you wait when everybody's piling on. And I mean, really.
You know, wait for the old bitch that he threw the vase at. And you wait for the guy who he choked. And you wait for the guy who he came out with the excrement on the toilet paper.
Sure. It just harms the credibility of the guy who says that Bobby Knight gave him a poke.
Coach Knight, very put upon at this time. Chris Lawson, who played for IU from 89 to 91, says he saw Knight punch another player in the head during a halftime.
Oh, so he's not even saying he's the one that was punched. He's
right.
Saying, I saw him punch another player.
Ten years ago. And wait a minute. I mean, if we're talking about a game and a game situation, there are a few witnesses. All those games are covered in Indiana, you know, like it's the Super Bowl, and you'd have other people coming forward. And, you know, I mean, as much as I know you're a huge fan of Bobby Knight, I'm ambivalent. I don't feel one way or the other.
You know, it's not popular. It's not the popular thing to say that you're a fan of Bob Knight now, but I still am.
And, you know, the only thing he did that I had a problem with was when he went on that hunting trip with his son, and his son came back with a broken nose and a dislocated shoulder.
It was an accident. The son just wouldn't listen.
But this is, you know, I really also think he's gone through it. You know, got the message right now, and enough. Well, I mean, you know, they're not going to dump him from Indiana. Yeah, let's wait for something new rather than to go back 10 years for something a guy saw him do to another guy, supposedly.
I saw Buzz touch another guy 10 years ago.
Yeah, well, I wish you'd come forward with that before. Well,
Mike.
I should have.
Hello. Mike was the guy. I saw Buzz touching Mike.
10 years ago?
10 years ago.
I liked it a lot. At first, the school said there'd be no investigation of this latest reported incident, but and they said because the charge couldn't be verified, now that's obviously changed.
10 years ago.
Yeah, right.
I said, Buzz, what are you doing? He said, get out.
You know, you got that part. That's what I said. He's got that foresight, and Don told me, you know, you should report this, and I was just too busy. Well, let me tell the truth. I kicked you out. I said, go away. Leave us alone. I didn't know that you were that kind of man back, and now no one will believe you because it's 10 years later.
Yeah, and look at that self-satisfied smile.
The company whose tour bus killed a soap opera actor this week may be losing its license. Yesterday,
you know, those buses.
You'd never know it walking around the streets of Manhattan.
Those buses are still driving around Manhattan. So today, swear to God, Rob and I walked right in front of not one of those buses, but another bus. Yeah. We were saved by Speedy Charlie Broyhill, right?
No. I was just following Charlie.
And
I
was just like, all of a sudden, nah! And Rob and I turned around. I swear to God, a bus was 2 inches from us, right off 7th Avenue.
Yeah, and Charlie just like pulled us forward. He saved our lives.
Saved our lives, Charles Broyhill.
We all been up here enough now to know the rhythm of this city, which is basically, here's the deal. The walk, don't walk lights, totally disregarded. But if you're out there in a don't walk situation, nobody's stopping. You are taking your life in your hands. And it happens with trucks, cabs, cars, whatever. But, you know, you can also skip across. I did it right in front of a cop today, and then the cop didn't blink.
Jaywalker. You lost again. If you want to see the absolute opposite of that, go to goddamn Southern California.
Right.
Where the cars really stop when it says walk.
Maybe. The opposite of California. I was jaywalking today with a cigar. It was fantastic.
Beautiful thing. It is.
Well, yesterday, the city asked the judge to take away the bus company's license, and just 1 hour before that hearing, another of the company's buses slammed into a mail truck. I saw them today. You know, everybody's aware of them now. And I saw them today. Those things fly.
They're huge, too.
They fly around the streets.
Remember that giant, these are big double-decker buses.
Like buildings on wheels.
That are all over New York, and they say Big Apple tours. Mm-hmm. Ken Stevens, thank God that this is another one of his great ideas that we vetoed.
Right.
When we started in New York a couple of months ago, he really came to us and said, I want you guys to get a publicity picture taken. Don and Mike on top of the Big Apple tour bus.
You better hurry.
Please. Like, at that point, we said a stupid idea. But now,
just why don't we just sit there on Park Avenue with two toy Empire State Buildings in our hands? You know, and then you hold the Empire State Building, I'll hold the Statue of Liberty. New York Apple Tours had 131 accidents between 1996 and 1999. This is Sam Huff. And 23 people got hurt in those accidents. The city says, this is Sam Huff.
Driver?
The city says the company has 80 drivers, but that only 24 of them are listed on the state roster.
This is Sam Huff.
Well, we just met three of them. Since Monday, 11 drivers have been cited.
This is Sam Huff.
Not four having. There he is again.
This is Sam Huff.
Five of them. Cited for not having the proper licenses.
This is Sam Huff.
Six Big Apple Tour drivers.
It's an even six.
President Clinton refused to fasten his seatbelt Thursday during a takeoff in Air Force One,
according to the Drudge Report. President Clinton.
The story says the president president was stretched out on a tabletop talking to reporters as the plane began to taxi. When reporters reminded him to fasten his seatbelt, he allegedly refused. That's a violation of federal law, by the way. The fine can be as much as $1,100.
Thanks, Matt Drudge. Thanks so much, because it's really, really significant.
Yeah.
Right.
Concerned about his safety.
You know, really, is there any greater evidence that Clinton is just on easy street right now?
Clinton. And here's your Matthew Perry update. His publicist says the story in next week's Star tabloid is not true. She says the 30-year-old Friends co-star does not need a liver transplant.
But Mike does. Happy Mike Day, everybody.
Don, if you're going to refer to me on this show and talk about my liver, please refer to me as Cirrhosis Boy.
Cirrhosis Boy needs a liver.
Thank you very much.
But, you know, the doctors have said I'm okay now, but I'm just looking to the future.
Yeah, sure. Good plan.
Right, absolutely.
The publicist says Matt Perry is not back in the hospital and that he's feeling much better now, having been out of the hospital since last Saturday. She did not, however, return calls to the Daily News about whether he's back in rehab. People Magazine quotes a crew member as saying Perry has pancreatitis, which is an inflammation supposedly caused by an addiction to painkillers.
Oh, I don't have addiction to painkillers, but I got something going on in my pants right now.
I really do.
You got a specific form of it. It's called dollop pancreatitis.
Got it.
Well, the hype
they have, as a matter of fact.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, be careful, no. Be careful.
Oh, my.
Wow.
Tiny.
And how is Matthew's brother?
Steve Perry.
I'm not doing much singing.
How's he reacting?
I haven't heard any comments.
Did you see the Today Show today?
Yes, I did. It was sad.
Where they had, God, talk about feeling bad for people. They had these old, aged members of Styx.
Right.
And the old, aged REO Speedwagon.
Right.
And each of them had one end of Rockefeller Center.
Right.
Playing outside. And the guy, Kevin Cronin from REO Speedwagon.
Actually, Kevin Cronin, they combined the bands, and Kevin Cronin is now lead singing the Styx songs as well.
Oh. Really?
No, come on.
Yes, because really? I saw later today they
were doing that, I think. Yeah.
Did you see Kevin Cronin's hair?
Yeah.
His blonde hair.
Yeah. Kevin Cronin used to have this real gay looking curly look, right. Like a mop almost.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now it's very short and it's dyed like Madonna metallic blonde.
You know,
platinum blonde.
I think you're right.
I'm wrong. I got the song wrong because I thought it was a Styx song. I got them confused. It was an REO Speedwagon song. And I do. Were they separated on different
stages? Yes. Styx went out first. They had Come Sail Away. Then
right.
REO Speedwagon did Can't Fight This Feeling.
Very cool.
And here's what Kevin Cronin had to say.
Oh, really?
And here's what Dennis Shaw of Styx had to say.
What?
There you go.
There they are.
No, I'm kidding. Here's Kevin Cronin from REO Speedwagon.
I thought seriously about driving home one night. How easy it would be to take my little Mercedes convertible and stick it in there. Abutment on the side.
Stick it in.
Come on, stick it in.
Well, the hype paid off. The Spin City had three times its normal audience Wednesday night when Michael J. Fox said goodbye.
Thank you, Michael.
Calling me guilty. Watch, you know my feelings.
Needless to say, it was the biggest audience in the show's history, over 32.5 million people, and it crushed the competition. Even before the show, ABC had jumped from worst to first in the network race, mostly thanks to the Millionaire Show. And for the first time in recorded history, two networks tied for first place in the 18 to 49-year-old audience advertisers love, ABC and NBC.
Hi, we're CBS.
Yeah.
How you doing? We do have one good show coming out sometime called Survivor. Maybe you've heard of it.
And that it still looks awesome. The promos look awesome.
But until then, please enjoy Diagnosis Murder. But until then, please enjoy Pecker.
Yeah, really.
Whatever that awful Ted Danson show was. Hold on, we got to do a break. We'll be back. More news, more comment coming right up.
From New York City, it's the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Slim Shadies.
Hey, did you see that video today?
Oh, with the M&M? I've seen it many times.
Okay, well, why did... Were they repeating that whole thing about the making of his video?
That is a show that they run on MTV, like, every 2 hours, the making of...
Well, I watched. I got sucked in the making of his video, the new one, the Slim Shady. The video absolutely sucked.
Well, remember what I told you originally when I saw it, like, 2 weeks ago? That what really ruins it is the fact that annoying bitch Kathy Griffin is in it, that she plays the nurse in it.
But when you watch the making of, you know, they're so self-congratulatory about all the special effects that they're doing. And then then it's just stupid, and it's bad. And it's
I like
bad.
The video. I like it. Where they have the blow up Britney Spears and they have the Christina Aguilera stuff in the crowd.
He dresses up as Britney Spears.
Yeah, but they have a blow up doll. Is it the blow up Christina Aguilera? Is that
yeah?
Is that what it is?
Blow up Christina Aguilera.
I like it. He's a nice boy, Eminem.
He's a good boy.
He's a very good boy. What's news for you, Slim Shady?
A lot of excitement in the medical.
I do like to go around because it's very dangerous when Mike O'Mara starts watching MTV.
I know, but I got sucked into that.
Don't they have that AMC channel in your hotel?
Yeah, they do.
That channel Warrior Speed.
As we're saying here, you know this is the channel we're talking about, too.
The American Movie Classics.
Hello, darling. Mike, come stay with us on the American Movie Classics. Don't go down there and watch that silly MTV.
Or is it TCM, the Turner Classic Movie Channel?
I think they have both in our hotel. And man, it's fantastic. But today, I watched that foolish thing the kids are all watching.
Hi, Slim Shady.
Hi, Don and Mike. A lot of excitement in the medical community this week about the new colon cam.
Hey!
Really?
That's a pill.
Yeah, it is. Right. A camera complete with a light and a transmitter in a capsule about the size and shape of a large pill.
God!
You swallow it like a pill, and the camera goes on a 24-hour journey through all 30 feet of your digestive system.
You know, you could go through mine now, and I'm positive it would be good. Remember I told you I had a dollop?
Right.
I went back and did the CW.
Yeah.
Clean as a bell.
Everything fine?
And I normally don't look when I wipe.
Yes, you're right.
But that was a case where I looked.
You had to.
Sometimes, though, I just want to point this out to you. Sometimes the dollop is hiding, and you'll find out when you get home. Sometimes it hides a little further up the canal.
I got news for you.
I virtually gave myself a check for prostate cancer.
Did you really?
When I was in the men's room at WNEW.
That's good. That's good. Fantastic. Should have tried the colon cam. That device then transmits to a packet that you wear on your belt, which transmits the pictures to a computer. The idea is to find a more comfortable way to examine the colon without a colonoscopy or its little brother, the FlexSig or flexible sigmoidoscopy.
I can't see a thing. He took the pill an hour ago, doctor, and nothing's coming in. It's just completely cloudy.
Do they use these things more than once?
That's a good question.
Better wash them.
As expensive as they are, you know, you'd have to use it again. So, yeah, it would be into
right.
The sterilizer.
Whatever
again.
You do, don't chew it.
No, that would be bad. It may be years, actually, before the camera gets FDA approval. And even then, some doctors say it cannot check all the nooks and crannies that current methods can.
You know, going back to that Eminem thing again, and I felt like so cutting edge. And I was thinking of you when I was watching that today. And that's one of the reasons I just sort of hung in there with it, because I forgot that you had seen the video.
Yeah,
I come in here like a complete mook and say, hey, you know, they had the debut, the world premiere. Well, then why do they say world premiere?
Because
it's part of the making of.
Because when they originally showed it the first time, it was a world premiere.
Oh, God.
But that's how they get you on MTV.
I'm going to pay more attention.
That's how they suck you in.
All right.
There's another computer virus out there. The CyberNet virus apparently comes from Malaysia. And once again, it's aimed at the Microsoft Outlook program.
Malaysia. That's a great disc jockey word. Hey, I want to say good morning. Malaysia.
What is that capital that you love pronouncing in that part of the world?
Kuala Lumpur.
Doesn't she work for CNN? And Buzz says, I like calling it Mel-Asia.
Mel-Asia.
And someday, when those gooks get in line, it'll be Mel-Asia. Someday, when a certain man buys Asia. Mel-Asia.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. The virus comes just after Microsoft announced a patch to keep out infected VBS files, but this virus...
VBS files?
VBS.
VBS.
Make up your own abbreviation there.
Very good.
It's designed as a slash...
And, of course, by saying gooks, I was simply referencing...
Quoting the movie.
The Christopher Walden line in... Walken.
In
Pulp Fiction.
Absolutely. And reading an excerpt from John McCain's book.
Yes.
Thank you. This virus is designed as a slap in Microsoft. It comes in a Word document or Excel file with the message, you've got mail. The good news is the virus doesn't seem to be moving as quickly as the last one. It only forwards itself to the first 50 people in your address
book.
Right. Officials in Utah have decided to stop having prison inmates do telemarketing work.
Well, that was in that Roger Moore movie, the big one.
Mm-hmm.
Roger Moore went into a prison. Because Roger Moore, for whatever reason...
Michael Moore?
What did I say?
Roger Moore.
Okay.
James Bond went into a prison?
Okay.
The bad James Bond?
You know who I meant.
Very good.
Michael Moore. He got pissed at TWA for some reason.
Right.
So he went into a prison to show how TWA has convicts who were in prison for awful crimes
answering the phones and making flight reservations for you.
Could have been worse. You could have said Gary Moore.
Or Harv.
Or Melba. Melba. Well, the Commerce and Tourism officials there in Utah had these prisoners, including sex offenders, calling citizens at home.
Are you interested in the steak knives?
Some of the citizens, not realizing they were talking to hardened criminals, shared personal information, and they weren't happy when they found out.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's chance who other guy will be calling soon.
Rats on the east side, bed bugs uptown.
Yeah!
Look at me!
I'm in tatters!
I'm in tatters!
Oh, yeah!
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 Yeah. The rat problem has reared its whiskered head again in New York, where the pests now outnumber people by a 6-to-1 margin. Some say maybe 8-to-1. Mm-hmm. So the officials say the rodent population is still growing. On the Upper West Side, Paul Rogers' Volkswagen wouldn't start. And when he took it to the shop, they found rat hair, droppings, and chicken bones under the hood.
Mm.
They told him they found a nest.
He's telling Randy Quaid there for a second.
Fantastic.
It's real.
They all have permits.
Not a KFC.
That wasn't our chicken. That was Popeye's.
The mechanics told Paul they found a nest in his engine and $300 in damage where the rats had chewed through some wires. Rogers tells the Daily News he now keeps mothballs on the engine and in the trunk of his car.
Hey, that's a pleasant smelling ride.
Yeah. Napa. Everybody loves Raymond, even the bad guys. A truck carrying 9,600 tapes of the show was stolen in North Hollywood this week.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Those videotapes contain the 4 episodes of the show that are being submitted for this year's Emmy Awards. They were supposed to be sent to the TV Academy members who do the voting. According to Ray's producer, I don't want to say anything, but I heard Kelsey Grammer was seen driving the truck. The producer says...
And that's the kind of whip,
yes,
that will keep Raymond out of the Emmy.
What's the big deal? I mean, if they lost him, so what?
Yeah,
I mean, they're
dub off 4 new copies.
Exactly, money.
Rob, it's not money.
It's CBS, Mike.
Oh, it might
be money.
Not Asia. And they made for a mildly amusing story. This is not only the first day of a weekend homestand for the Yankees against the Red Sox, it's also the first day of the beer ban in the bleachers at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, however, I want to tell you something. I have researched this.
Yes?
And you can simply walk out of the bleachers
right.
and go to the box seat area
right.
and buy beer and bring it back to the bleachers.
And more importantly, you can drink your beer on the concourse and just come right back in.
Yeah,
I don't think they'll let you take it back to the bleachers. At least that's what I'd read so far.
Really, I had a guy today. A guy who was telling me about this today.
Right.
Maybe he was wrong. I don't know anything about it. Of course, being a lifelong Yankee fan that I am, you would think I would have researched.
Mr. Pinstripe. Now, the game starts in about 20 minutes as we do this, and the ban is forcing some bleacher fans to move the $15 seats from those to the upper deck. To them, it's worth the extra $7. But other fans tell the New York Daily News they'll just get their buzz on before the game.
Well, you know, I bet Mike's right. I bet you can just buy it like outside the bleacher
area. Yeah, you can't drink it when you're sitting in the bleachers.
Right.
I think they want to avoid people throwing beer.
Right.
And what it is you just go out and you have a conservative amount, 9 or 10, before you go back right. into the bleachers.
The guy I was talking to today must have been drunk.
Yeah,
that might have been it.
He must have been wrong when he told me that.
I'm always wrong. We have a Yankees-Red Sox bet that will culminate with a big pie in the face on Tuesday's episode after the holiday.
Yankees win the series, I get a pie in the face. Red Sox win the series, you get a pie in the face.
Right, on Tuesday's episode.
Indeed. I'm doing that bet to endear myself to the people of New York.
As am I. Hi, New York.
Yeah.
What am I doing?
As for the fans who say they want to drink before the game and then show up, stadium officials say they'll be watching for people who show up in the tank. Yankees announced the booze ban last week in an effort to make the stadium less rowdy, and that was prompted by a beer brawl in Chicago's Wrigley Field earlier this month.
Right on. Thank you, buddy.
Hold on. Got a break right now.
We'll take the 100th caller with a prize package we selected especially for you. If you call it right now, then please be assertive. Be assertive when you're the 100th person to call. The phone number 877. Excuse me, what's going on over here?
Oh,
I see. Mike's got something for us. Okay. All these farts today,
they sound good.
They are free.
We're bound up.
All of these farts today, incidentally, not sponsored. Be the 100th caller now. Be assertive, 877. You know, somebody, hold on, I know we have to break. Somebody around the station asked me today,
yes.
I don't know who it was, somebody up on the 10th floor said to me today, when you guys stop,
Mm-hmm. Do you really put the microphones to your asses and fart? And I said, yes. And they said, then you bring the same microphone to your mouth. And I said, yes.
Yes, we do.
Yes, emphatically we do.
It's either that premiere or do it on the train.
Okay. Be the 100th caller, 877-365-3636. I bet you'll have a few left on the train, though.
You better believe it.
Call 100.
Broadcasting from the legendary studios of WNEW in New York City, here's Don and Mike.
Right-o. Hello, Slim Shady.
In sports, in the NBA playoffs tonight, the Lakers are at Portland, and in the NHL, it's the Devils and the Flyers. And finally, a guy hijacked a jet in the Philippines yesterday, robbed the passengers, and parachuted out of the plane. But he's no D.B. Cooper. They say this disheveled-looking guy was crying and complaining of a stomach ache as he made his way to the front by moving from bathroom to bathroom. When he got to the cockpit, he pulled a gun and a hand grenade.
It's a cockpit.
Right. The gun went off.
I could start this right now, and it could make us 20 minutes late.
Yeah,
that would be bad.
Cockpit.
Very bad.
The gun went off. The pilot says...
And before the gun went off?
I bet he had to cock it.
Yeah.
They always have to cock the gun.
Cock the gun.
It's a cockpit.
But the pilot says he's not sure the guy did it on purpose.
The hijacker demanded the plane return to the airport, but the pilot explained there wasn't enough fuel.
So he was cocked sure.
That's when he took all the passengers' cash and jewelry. He then jumped out of the plane with his homemade parachute.
Oh, he must have been drinking. He must have been cocked.
Homemade is not good when it comes to parachutes.
Mm-hmm.
The good news is the passengers will all be getting their money and valuables back.
Oh, he's dead.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Yes!
Oh!
Is that how it ended, Buzz?
Yeah.
Oh, there's a happy ending,
yeah,
everybody.
There you go.
I just have a beautiful 3-day Mike Memorial Day weekend. We'll be back on Tuesday with a new episode. Don't hurt yourselves. Love you, Frida. Love you, Bart. Next week on the show, we'll start with the pie in the face bet on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Every day, we'll hear from the people at the beach house. Next week on the show, Christopher Titus is coming back on.
Titus is going to make a return appearance.
Yes, we're going to tell him what we think of his show. We're going to tell him we think he's a great guy, but his show is not that great.
Very good.
Make for some wonderful interpersonal relationships. And also, we'll have another great vacation to give away next week. Tell you about that on Tuesday.
Excellent.
Please join Guy Birdley, Slim Shady, Buzz Burbank for the Strawberry Festival Saturday.
Ah, the strawberries.
What a cherry gig that is, Ben.
No, strawberry.
No, strawberry gig. That's tomorrow, Saturday, 10 till 5, Sky Meadows State Park in Belle Plaine, Virginia. Proceeds, except for Buzz's exorbitant cost of him showing up to do an appearance.
What is that?
Go to local charities. Please call 540-364-2772.
Way to take books out of the hands of kids, Buzz. You bet.
100 times right now.
Who doesn't like money?
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Am I the 100th caller?
No, honey, I'm sorry you're not.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I am caller 100.
Yeah.
Right.
Right,
baby.
Right. You got to be assertive. What's your name?
My name's Rick. I'm from Spokane, baby.
Rick from Spokane, Washington.
You know doing my game.
Rick, you have won Plasma Sword, a game for Sega Dreamcast, courtesy of Express.com. Express.com is the best place to go for games, game systems, DVDs, and DVD players.
All right, farm out.
All right, thank you, my friend.
All right.
Hold the line. Our thanks today to Marv Albert from TNT, talking about the Knicks. Also, Rudy Marsky from USA Today. Thanks to G. Gordon Liddy for letting us play the clips of his radio show when we were on it, of course. Our best wishes to the late John Pop.
Yes, John Pop, and of course, I just want to say hi to Peter Johnson, though.
PJ.
The lovable PJ.
Right. All right, that's it. Have a great 3-day weekend. We will see you Tuesday.
Yeah.
Mike, thank you. Good night.
Good night, and thank you, Don.
Slim Shady, thank you. Good night.
Thank you, and good night, Don.
And now, Robbie.
Here again.
Please, throw your hat in the air, just like Sydney.